You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry. Film, television, and pop culture. It's where you find it.
Really, no better than television.
I wouldn't know. I never watch television.
Personally, I don't even own a television.
You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
I loved it.
Yes! Yes! I am marrying a woman who is not only hot, but loves Star Wars. That's the dream. Yes!
What was that?
I was high-fiving 15-year-old me through the space-time continuum. We did it! We did it, you masturbating little bastard! Champagne for everybody!
It was so good.
You hated it, didn't you?
Oh, it was so stupid. I mean, first of all, how did they understand that walking bear they hang around with all the time?
Wookie.
Yeah, he goes... And they're all like, that's a good point, bear. Let's try that.
Okay, he's a Wookie, and his kind is actually more intelligent than they appear.
Fuzzball.
Cat? You ever see the Flintstones?
Sure.
Do you think Wilma's sexy?
Wilma Flintstone?
Maybe we've been alone in deep space too long, but every time I see that show, her body drives me crazy. Is it me?
I think, in all probability, Wilma Flintstone is the most desirable woman who ever lived.
That's good. I thought I was going strange.
She's incredible.
What do you think of Betty?
Betty Rubble? Well, I would go with Betty. But I'd be thinking of Wilma.
This is crazy. Why are we talking about going to bed with Wilma Flintstone?
You're right. We're nuts. This is an insane conversation.
She'll never leave Fred, and we know it.
Meet George Jetson.
Theater. It's Friday. Nowhere in Mulberry. Woo-hoo. Film, television, pop culture. Boom goes the dynamite. Hey, everyone. How's it going? Welcome to the show. It's Friday, and we're here to talk all of our favorite stuff. And we welcome you here with open arms. And I certainly have a way with words, and I'm not making this up right off the top of my head. Steven, the pop culture sled. How you doing,
hey,
Steven?
Hey! Good, good, good.
Hey, hey, hey! What's going on?
Nothing. You know, my jet-setting lifestyle. So, just flew back in today.
Whoa! Chewie, hey. Be quiet!
Chewie was flying, he was flying the airplane today.
He's so. Flying shotgun.
He was co-pilot.
We also have here Mulberry Bill. How you doing, Bill?
What a Wookiee!
I love that song. I'm good, thanks.
Man, we figured that stuff out in record time, didn't we? The new server and all that stuff? Well, I know you...
Yeah, I just had the switch. The one we had before was giving us too many problems 2 weeks in a row, so...
Man, I tried to fit in Smallville and Fringe before the show, but we didn't get to finish Fringe. He's drilling in the guy's head, and that's where I had to cut it off.
I can finish you up there. It was no big deal. It wasn't like one of those episodes where it's like, oh my gosh.
But it's a fun episode. I just love that doctor on that show. He's so funny.
He's terrific. And it's, you know what's bad about it though is that Joshua Jackson is so poor an actor compared to his father in that show. It just doesn't balance.
I think
balance
it's kind of like
well.
You said in earlier, you know, when he first he has to be so witty.
Yeah.
You know, and
he,
it's
you know,
like,
honestly, he doesn't bother me as much as like actors on other shows or something like that.
Yeah, the annoying skeptic character.
When you do it so much repetitively.
Right.
You know, if he did it every once in a while, once or twice during a show, but you know, it seems like almost every time he opens his mouth, it's a smart-ass comment.
I think it'll get better as the season goes on.
Yeah, I mean, I'm giving it a chance.
But we digress.
Yeah.
You know, the doctor makes up for that.
Now, Bill, Steven was telling me some kind of Sirius satellite. Is it like a contest or something?
A contest or something for an hour show?
Maybe Bill knows what this is.
Have you heard this?
No, I have no idea.
They're asking for our submissions. For
all right, well, let's do it.
That's what I told Jason. I was like, shoot, what do we got to
do? Put together an hour demo reel. And
yeah, I was trying to find the information online. I didn't have time to. My computer's been, it keeps trying to do an update, but we got to do the show. So I'm like, no, I can't do an update right now. It's probably some kind of...
No, Windows, I can't do an update right now.
It's probably like in Live Free or Die Hard. I'm supposed to hit delete and then my computer will blow up. But hey, those guys, those cyber terrorists, no, I'm not going to hit delete button when my monitor goes...
Was it delete or was it escape?
I think it was delete because
okay.
You'd get wavy lines on your monitor and go, what the hell? I'm going to hit delete right here.
Yeah, because that makes sense.
Or backspace. Yeah.
Or maybe they're pressing Control-Alt-Delete.
Wouldn't be the first thing you would do is reach behind the monitor and make sure that cable's connected firmly?
Let me just say that... Die Hard 4.0 or Live Free and Die Hard was not a Die Hard movie. We all know that.
Oh.
Even Chewie agrees.
Chewie totally agrees with you, don't
and
you?
And Chewie's dead in the expanded universe, so...
No, BS. He is not dead.
He's dead.
Chewie's alive and well in a galaxy far away.
No. Died saving Anakin Solo.
Oh, Anakin Solo doesn't even exist. That's just
no,
books.
He died fighting the Yuuzhan Vong.
We can't even know.
Anakin Solo.
Yeah, who's nice. Anakin Solo, anyway?
He was one of the best, man. He was my favorite Solo, not those whiny twins, Jaina and Jason.
Who that? Is that like Zan and Jaina?
You know what? I have a feeling you're teasing me. Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Bill, can I apologize to you? Last week, we did the entire show without...
No, you're not allowed to apologize to me.
Why
very
not?
Angry with you. I won't even take an apology.
We didn't wish you a happy birthday.
No, you didn't.
I didn't know.
Well, technically, your birthday was the very next day. Saturday.
It was the 20th.
And, you know, it was edited out of the podcast. People don't know this if they listen to the flawless podcast. But we had trouble at where we kept disconnecting from the feed where people were listening to us live. So that kind of distracts you from what you're going to do, and I was going to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I am now 29. It's been exactly 29 years since September of 1979, and it's pretty bad.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
That's right, Bill. Happy
Thank you,
birthday.
Simon.
Happy birthday to you.
No. I want Simon or Tim Bisley. I don't want that crap. She frightens me. She always has.
How about both of them?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
See, that's making up for the belatedness of the birthday wishes.
A twofer, thanks.
My wife's birthday's on Monday, so happy birthday to my wife.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, good time. You know, one day I want to see live. I want this. On my birthday, I want Simon Pegg and Whoopi Goldberg
side by
duet
side.
To sing me happy birthday. What do you think?
Maybe we could send in a question, like when he does promotion for How to Lose Friends and Alienate People. And he's on The View, that he could sing that with Whoopi for you.
Yeah, that would totally be good. Chewy likes that, don't you, Chewy? Not your old buddy, huh?
Walking carpet.
Yeah, you damn walking carpet. Did you guys know the Emmys were last week? We don't pay attention to that.
I had
shit
no
at all,
idea.
I flipped over. I didn't know they were on, but I flipped over and I saw it, and I was like.
Well, see, it was at the same time
care.
As the Cowboys were playing. Was it last Sunday? And the Cowboys were playing, so I missed it. But here's just a few winners from Emmy night. Let's check it
They're
out.
They're all winners.
And the Emmy goes to Alec Baldwin. There you are.
Actors are people who look good, saying lines written by smarter, more clever people. And in our show, that is certainly the truth.
Glenn Close, damn it.
Oh, nice. One of the best shows on television.
Complicated, powerful.
On Blu-ray, need to Netflix it, right?
Mature women are sexy and can and high
the
entertainment
sexy
and can
I'm sorry,
show.
Glenn. You look terrible on that show. You are not sexy.
Bryan Cranston.
The dad
what the hell did he win for?
She's bald, too.
That good show that
I
never
I haven't
watched.
Been able to get this close to her until now.
Oh, AMC Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I've heard it's great.
Tina Fey.
The lovely Tina Fey.
I want to thank my parents for somehow raising me to have confidence that is disproportionate with my looks and abilities.
That's
well
for sure.
Done. That is what all parents should do.
Come on, Tina Fey's cute. I like her.
In a school teacher kind of way, I guess.
A librarian.
Yeah.
She's a smart chick. I like
really?
Her.
Really?
Yes, Ari. Oh, and Jeremy Piven won.
I love this town.
Yeah, that's one award too many.
How many of these is he going to win?
But I think this should be his final year. Yes, his character is enjoyable. He does the same thing every year. Does it
Gang
really deserve
by
repeated
a gaggle
award?
Of silverback apes.
Yeah, I like Ari a lot, and what's his assistant's name? His secretary guy?
Floyd.
I was going to say Floyd.
Or Floyd. Lloyd. Well, that would work.
You remember last week we forgot to mention, he goes, have you been speedballing fairy dust? I love that line. What, have you been speedballing fairy dust? And he was like, ooh, Vince is in the building. I love that, but
I like Entourage, but the past couple of weeks, Ari's been the only good thing about it.
Many complaints that I've always read, or sometimes I have, is this episode to episode. Sometimes they seem very aimless episodes, almost as you would call it a pointless episode. You know what
right.
I mean?
Remember, it's more Seinfeld than it is anything else.
Do you remember even like Sopranos? People complained about that. Like, we only get so many episodes of Sopranos. Why do they waste an episode on this or whatever?
True.
But I'm not comparing Entourage to Sopranos, just so you know. They were both on HBO. That's about
it.
Yeah.
But we don't have any voicemail this week and all that kind of stuff. And
makes us sad.
Yeah, it makes us really sad.
Maybe Mystery Man has went out and got a new phone.
Ooh, yeah.
Hasn't had time to program our number in yet.
You know what? Let's go ahead and do entertainment. Ah, yes. Eagle Eye is out, you guys. And I checked out Rotten Tomatoes before the show began. And I got to say, it's not doing too well if you want to – all those reviewers on there. I know most reviewers, you know, you take them with a grain of salt. But what I like about Rotten Tomatoes is it averages it out, much like Vanessa loves IMDb and how they average out viewers or whatever. You just kind of get a general – consensus of how people
give everybody like a perfect score every time.
IMDb. I think a lot of times people have agendas on IMDb.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like
yeah, definitely. Quite frankly, I think people have agendas on Rotten Tomatoes because they know they're on there. It doesn't take that much effort to get your.
Are you saying the movie review boy on Rotten has an Tomatoes? Agenda, Bill? The movie boy.
Huh? What?
I always see reviews on there by the movie boy, and I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't take. It's not hard. If you have a movie blog, you can pretty much get on it.
Well, one of our listeners, one time on the forum, said it's some kind of union thing that you can join and you can get on there, whatever that is.
Oh, press union, probably.
Yeah, I can't remember, but anyway, yeah, good stuff.
I heard mainly reviews from like the Fantastic Fest. That it was enjoyable, nothing real deep, but it was fun. So that's what I'm looking forward to. I'll probably maybe in a week go see it at the theater.
I expect that from DJ Caruso. I mean, the guy.
Yeah, I mean, Disturbia, come on.
Come on, Jesus.
What concerns me is his adaptation of Why the Last Man.
Is he doing that?
Yeah.
Why? God. Why'd they pick him?
Shia LaBeouf.
Huh? Is Shia LaBeouf going to be in it?
I'm telling you what, if Shia LaBeouf
is the last
is
man,
Yorick Brown, I am going to shit a brick.
Well, another thing...
No, because he was in Disturbia as well as...
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it at all. The guy's
Why the Last Man is quite possibly one of my all-time favorite comic series.
Shia LaBeouf, yes.
You can actually... I think it's all... I think there's like 10 paperback volumes out now.
I've always wanted to read it, but it's just like, I gotta buy all those paperbacks? I can't read that.
Well, and they're expensive. They're like $12
a piece.
It's the
same thing with like the Gunfighter series, the Stephen King. It's like, if I really want to read that, how many books am I going to have to get? You know?
Eight?
Yeah, but it's really good. One of my favorites.
Oh, I bet. I remember reading that Damon Lindelof really, it's kind of his dream to adapt those. You know, Damon Lindelof.
Crap. I just read that rumors have been circulating that actor Shia LaBeouf will play Yorick.
Wow.
Yeah, Chewie cries out in pain.
Yeah, that's that DJ Caruso, he's very imaginative, isn't he?
Yeah, good lord.
He
loves the Shia.
Yeah.
Let's just hope they don't get a CGI monkey.
Yeah, I don't know anything about the story other than the covers look cool. So anyway, you know what I'm really excited about is Ed Harris's new film that he's directed called Appaloosa.
Oh, yeah.
With him and Viggo Mortensen. Man, that looks kick-ass. Have you seen the trailer of that, Steven?
Yes.
It looks badass. I can't wait to see that. That's definitely something I'll go to the theater. I dig westerns like that, especially westerns about badasses who kill lots of bad guys.
Yeah, I love that line.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of dying? Nope. Then you go first.
Hey, I'm there. Sign me up, buddy.
That was a cool line.
Yeah, that's one of those books I've always wanted to read, but now I'll wait for the movie.
Oh, I didn't even know it was a book. That's cool.
Yeah, it was like, gosh, I can't even remember.
You know what?
I think it's like a 2005 book or something.
I watched Speed Racer this week with my daughter on Blu-ray, and it looks beautiful. We've already talked about the DVD segment, how Warner's didn't put a high-def sound mix on it.
Yeah, like where's our true HD or DTS HD?
I think that's weird. Have they done that on any other movies? I mean, seriously.
Not that I know of. I think I read that it's only a single-layer disc, too. It's only a 25-gigabyte Blu-ray.
And what was funny is I watched it, and I was conscious of the sound. I was like, this sounds really good, but I knew it could be better because it's not that high-def mix.
And well, so- yeah, you can really – once you get an HD format and you have a full 5.1, 7.1 surround system, you can tell the difference.
Right.
And- you just can. It's so much fuller.
Yeah,
then the Dolby Digital 5.1.
Hopefully that movie becomes some kind of cult hit and they release a better one.
It really should be because it's just such a fun movie. I think the people that rail against it just I don't know, maybe they just have something about the purity of it, the goofiness, the just the lightheartedness of
it.
I think maybe they're expecting something more serious.
Honestly, yeah, that's it. I think people didn't want a kid's movie, and that's what it is. It's totally a kid's movie.
Yeah.
They wanted...
I had no problem with it at all.
You wanted something kick-ass. The Wachowskis were doing it. Something like Speed Racer should be a badass. Kind of Neo-like, I guess. You know, more violent. I don't know, something dark and brooding.
I wanted was more car stuff.
Yeah, I love the car food.
But I mean, it was all fun.
Totally cool. And I love the desert race and all that. Well, you know, we talked about this before, but
the car foo. Come on,
I love all that stuff. I think it's a great movie. It really is. Hopefully, it finds its audience over time, and we get that high def mix. But have you guys seen the trailer to this movie called Quarantine? With Dexter's sister, where it looks... It's the same premise as Cloverfield. I don't know if you guys have seen the trailer to this at all, but...
Yes, I have. It's based on the Spanish film.
She's like a reporter with doing a thing with the fire department, and they go to this building, and this zombie chick bites one of the firemen or something. They close off the building. They're not allowed to leave, so the documentary film crew or whatever, they're filming everything that's going on. And, you know, I think the premise of the movie is all that we found was this camera, you know, or something like that. This is what happened. And they try to keep it quiet. But I don't know. Are you guys interested?
Yeah, it's a TV crew. Well, the Spanish version I've seen, it's really good. Really good. Yeah, it was originally a Spanish film from 2007 called Rec, or, you know, Record, R-E-C, Red.
It wasn't called El Quarantine?
No, it wasn't called El Quarantine.
El Quarantino, yeah.
I guess they felt the need to change the name to make people, I don't know, like, they're quarantined. That, get it? Quarantine.
Yeah, the masses, like, we get it now.
Oh. We need things spelled out for us.
We're stupid.
Thank you for explaining. But yeah, it's a TV crew filming a story in an apartment block, and then... You know, the zombies attack. I would definitely check out the Spanish version before you even bother with the Americanized remake.
Well, let me ask you this. Is the Spanish version in English? Because if it's not, I'm not watching it.
English subtitles.
Subtitles? Come on.
You really need subtitles for a horror film.
Where's the dubbed version? I want the dubbed with bad Canadian accents or something. That would kick ass.
Yeah, the French Canadian dub.
What's this all about, yo? All right, guys, let's check out What's on a TiVo. Now, I don't know if you guys heard this news. It was pretty shocking. But Clay Aiken has told everyone he's gay.
No.
It can't be true.
Did he say that years ago?
I think everyone's been saying it for years, but he finally came out of the closet. I don't know if he denied it or...
He got caught at it.
You know what's funny is my Aunt Judy's a huge fan of Clay Aiken. She loves his music. She says he has the voice of an angel or whatever. And I'd always joke that, like...
Voice of an angel.
I've always joked that to her that, you know, he's gay or whatever, right? And she's like, no, he's not gay. And it's
he's
like, no.
He's blind.
If he's not gay, he just doesn't know it because, yes, he is. He's definitely gay. But I need to call her up and go, I told you. Come on. It was obvious.
On the show.
But the reason he says that he came out is because he has a child now, a baby, with a woman who's a friend. They decided to mutually have a baby, and he didn't want the baby to grow up and be a liar. So he was on Good Morning America this week, and it's very good.
He came out because he got caught in a gay chat room.
He began by telling me about the mother of the baby, James Foster, a music producer and longtime friend.
She was
a girl named
James. Relationship, a marriage that she had been in for over 20 years. She had always wanted kids. I've always wanted kids. Being a gay man, it wasn't something for me that was going to be an option any other way.
You kind of buried a lead there.
Did I?
Yeah. You decided to speak out now.
I think, you know, it's obviously something that in this day and age, people in my
Diane
position don't really have
a good
an opportunity to... Yes. To keep anything
she
of theirs personal,
like
but
this.
At the same time, I have a son, and it's kind of a decision that I made along with James and along with friends and family to say.
So it's a girl named James, or is James' boyfriend?
I can't raise a kid.
I decided to stick my penis in her cucanella.
Keep secrets, and at the same time, I also don't ever want to raise him in an environment where it's not okay for him to be exactly who he is.
No, that's nasty.
Cucanella.
I would have to use
Chewy.
A turkey baster.
Yes, for the first time in my life, I decided to be with a woman.
Why didn't Diane Sawyer ask him that? How did
exactly
get her pregnant?
Did you actually... Wait, the voice was too high. Did you actually have intercourse? Did you?
Wow. I love Diane Sawyer. But seriously, though, you know what's funny about Good Morning America? It's HD, but they always have those blurred pillar boxes on the side.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's not really HD if you do that.
They fornicated. Had intercourse, sex.
Okay, no, we got it. I think he took one of those Playgirls or Man Lover magazines into the room and it in a cup.
Now, Dancing with the Stars started this week, Bill. And,
oh, God, did it ever.
And you know what? I actually watched some of it because ABC.com, you can go in there and watch it. So I was like, hey, I got to check this out.
It's gorgeous in HD. It's one of the best looking shows on television.
You can even watch it in, it says HD online, but it doesn't really.
It's probably like 480p, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Because now you can watch stuff in 480p on Hulu, and basically it looks decent now.
Yoo-hoo?
On Hulu.
I was having problems with Hulu because I was watching the Chuck premiere, and whenever I switched over to 480p, the sound was out of sync. So You have to like play around with it to get the sound in sync on the 480p ones.
Hulu, H-U-L-U. I noticed that commercials during shows on NBC or Fox, they say watch online, but they never mention Hulu. Are they trying
probably
to keep it
because they're embarrassed of the name?
Yeah, I don't even like. I tell my dad or whatever. He goes, "You can rewatch that on Hulu, or if you miss it, he's like, on what? No, what now?
Who? What?
Hulu?
Ho-hos?
On Hulu?
I love those
Hula Dancer. It's like, no, just forget it. Go to NBC.com. All right. But,
I'm not going to any of those porn sites, son.
Kim Kardashian is on Dancing with the Stars, and she's on that horrible E! Show, The Kardashians, and her claim to fame is having a gigantic ass.
And she had a sex tape with that Ray J, that black rapper dude.
Ray J?
Black, yeah.
Well, I mean, she's a very pretty girl, and
she has a very classic beauty to her.
And she has a big butt. So naturally, I thought that was awful, actually. I was like, oh, my God. They played the I Like Big Butt song. That's what she danced to.
No.
I'm serious.
I didn't see that.
And she totally didn't look into it at all. She looked like, get me the hell out of here. Let's go ahead and check it out.
Zombie dancing?
Just imagine her zombie dancing to this music. It's just so bad.
Yeah, we finally got it.
I finally know how to shake it. This mambo is going to be bootylicious.
Sounds like Mario Brothers. I like big butts and I
cannot lie. What the hell is going on? If a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get wrong. Want to pull out and cut the gun? Hey, when you watch this show, are you supposed to go, woo? As they dance?
Well, the audience does that for you. They're so annoying.
Woo!
at like double speed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually sounded like the one of the Mario Brothers levels. And take your picture. My homeboys tried to warn
you, but that but she got Kim, you're gorgeous, but you drive me crazy. More wasted asses than Fanny and Freddy. Once you
say
have what you've got and don't use it, it really frustrates me.
Can I just be clear with the accent that you said assets?
Assets.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. Okay.
And you said everybody expects me to be sexy and I'm not. And that's in your head that you're not. And this is just a performance. You just have to come out and sell it and sizzle. And you didn't.
Who are Fanny and Freddie? Is that what I want to know?
Fanny Mae and Freddie Mac, the industry, mortgage companies, things.
More assets. But it sounds like he says more asses than Fanny and Freddie. So I was like, who?
Yes.
More wasted asses than Fanny and Freddie.
He does say more wasted
asses. He says asses.
But he's full of it.
Nice.
That show is so bad. And quite frankly, they try to push that show as a family-friendly show. That is not a family-friendly song.
No, it's not.
Like, what, there's like a 10-year-old girl going, "But You Got Makes Me So Horny?"
Yeah, what's that?
What does that mean?
Mommy?
And unfortunately, I saw that Ted McGinley get kicked off the show. So.
Yeah, you know what? And I was kind of upset about that because he had potential. He honestly did. I mean, he was stiff, yeah, but
he's canceled. He gets canceled on every show he's on. So I guess it was
well,
just...
you know what? They were preventing the jump of the shark.
Yeah, they
because
didn't want
he's the curse.
Yeah, they didn't want the show to get canceled, so they had to get rid of him, basically. Now you guys know Top Model has a transgender on the show.
No way.
And the only
ISIS?
The only reason that ISIS was on the show was to get the gay viewer, even though they're watching
well,
anyway.
No, I can't even say that. No, because
no,
the
I'm
gay
kidding.
Viewer wouldn't be interested in it. It would be like the weird transsexual watcher.
No, but the thing that I remember the first episode where Tyra said, "This is kind of... you're setting new ground for transgender people." It's almost like, I am so proud of me by having this person on my show. It shows how great I am. You know what I mean? So anyway, ISIS was just too self-conscious about apparently ISIS has to tape down the unit and was doing a pool shoot, right? And was afraid the tape would come loose. And I don't know. The whole thing makes me want to vomit. So let's check it out.
They didn't shoot him from behind, did they?
It's something that I have to do extra that the other girls don't have to. I have on like 3 pair of undergarments just in case the tape did peel off because of the water. I'm so nervous about that.
A little more power, ISIS. A little more power in the eyes. It's a little sleepy looking. Okay. That's not a good
thing. Bring that penis out.
Wrapped up with, you know, your swimsuit
and
various other elements that... You know, you were just bobbing in the water half the time.
It's just that tape and maneuvering things, and I just never been in that situation, so I didn't know if anything would pull off or...
You made too much of a big deal about it, even for yourself, because you let it hamper your performance.
But if you want to be
your
a model,
your penis
you can.
Is hampering your performance.
An inspiration for the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. Did I get that right? I think I said them all right, Miss Chen?
Yes, you did, honey.
Thank you.
Yes, you did.
So you have to know that. But you need to work on those eyes, or else she'll just be wah wah.
What do you have to be wah wah? What does that mean?
You have to be.
I thought she was trying to do the Peanuts kind of like the adult characters.
Well, that's kind of what she sounds like to me all the time.
Wah 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 wah.
So anyway, ISIS inspired many people.
ISIS inspired absolutely no one.
Yeah, just had nothing.
The ISIS Foundation.
What's that? I mean, that was the most interesting thing about ISIS. ISIS was a boring person, but a female trapped in a man's body. That was it, you know.
The only exciting part was maybe something might come untucked and you might see
Yeah, exactly. That's what we were waiting for.
Yeah.
But, she should have bobbed around so that, you know, it came free, and then she'd be like, "Oh, I have a penis."
What is that guy talking about? Bobbing in the water? What?
Bobbing in the water.
Maybe they were in the shallow water. End. And
now, hey,
see, they should have put him in the deep end. That way all the treading water would have broken everything loose. And
Now, did you guys watch The Mentalist?
Yes,
with
The Mentalist.
Simon Baker of Land of the Dead fame. No, I know he's done other stuff. He's in the great Land of the Dead. Yeah, he was my favorite character in Land of the Dead. That's about what I
think
say
he's
about
a
that.
Pretty good actor. I mean, he does a terrific American accent.
He is always good. Did you check that out?
No, sir.
The main thing is the commercials for The Mentalist made me not want to watch it. Yeah. Because he's like, hey, I'm a mentalist.
And the use of Weezer's Troublemaker from the Red Album didn't help.
Yeah.
And I'm a troublemaker.
It looks like, basically, it's the same premise as Psych in a way. A guy who's very good detective, pays attention to details and all that.
But without the comedy.
But it does have comedy. It's kind of like he's a great character, and he's funny.
It doesn't have the same type of comedy.
Right.
It's not like just tragic comedy.
It's not hijinks like Psycho.
Yeah, it's not the slap.
And it was funny. I was like, well, this is different. He isn't pretending to be a psychic. But actually, when you watch it, you see that he used to be a John Edwards type guy where he had a following. He was pretending to be psychic. Wasn't that an interesting flashback?
Yeah, I love that added storyline.
Yeah.
And that he even took it so far as to start helping the police, and then
he got it looks like he got in over his head a little bit.
Yeah, he got in over his head with a serial killer. The serial killer tracked down his family, killed his wife and daughter, a la Max Payne.
I thought that was great, but the whole thing is on the show that he's on, kind of like a bad morning TV show or whatever.
Yeah,
they ask him about, you know, what is it about this serial killer? And he's like, the person's, you know, sad, lonely, you know, a pathetic person. And the serial killer gets really pissed off about that.
Yeah.
And says, basically, I'll show you how sadness and loneliness is. If you're really psychic, you probably shouldn't open your door. And he opens it up. And, of course, you know, his family's on the other side. But anyway, here's a moment of The Mentalist that I thought was good. Basically, at the beginning of the episode, this is kind of the first thing you see where this girl has been killed. They arrested the boyfriend. He suspects the dad, it looks like, because I love how he's looking around. There's kind of these creepy photos of, like, family photos. And the dad looks like a perv in the pictures, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Like, there's one where the daughter's sitting on his lap, and it just looks uncomfortable. And
creepy.
He kind of talks to the wife, and he's like, you think your husband did it, do you? She's like, what? He's like, no, women's intuition. Why don't you just ask him? You'll know once he answers. She's like, no, I don't want to, or whatever. So anyway, he walks in. The husband goes, hey, what are you doing in here? And here's what happens.
I'm the police. Did you kill your daughter?
How dare you?
I asked you a simple question, sir. Did you kill your daughter?
No. I did not kill my daughter. Now you get the hell out of my house. June, what's the matter with you? I'm going to have your badge.
An innocent man would have punched me by now.
I am going to make life miserable for you. You come in here, you will cost my wife, you cause trouble on it. June, honey, please.
Hey, stop! Stop! Oh, no! Hey!
I guess she knew he did it.
Honestly, it's not as bad as it looks.
I love, yeah, all the other cops bust in to see what happened. He's like, it's not as bad as it looks. She didn't
kill. The guy dead on the floor, wife with a gun.
It's like the guy was guilty, so anyway, I like that. He has a sense of humor about him, and it's an interesting show. You know what's fun? I love how he turns the tables on the guy in the mystery in the first thing. You see him writing in a diary in a diner, and you wonder, oh, he's got a diary. What is he doing? And he convinces the guy who he knows did the murder in the episode that the victim had a diary. And he's like, no, he didn't have a diary. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure he did, and he tricks the doctor into looking for the diary, and he finds the fake diary. And when he looks through it, it says, confess, I know you did it in the diary. You know, it's just pretty funny. I like the show, and I'll definitely be checking it out. And, you know, there aren't a lot of new shows that, you know, I didn't have any expectations of this. What I'm trying to say is there aren't a lot of new shows that kind of surprise you. Like, oh, hey, I do like this, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I noticed is NBC doesn't have any new shows. They have like the Christian Slater show. Is there any new shows on?
Yeah, and they're really pumping that thing up. They're banking on it too.
But
they're banking on the last season of ER.
Yeah, but they don't have any new shows.
No, I'm
shows.
Just saying, but that's what they're banking on
like,
right now.
My Own Worst Enemy, but what else is there? So, I mean, Knight Rider, but technically Knight Rider was a movie last
year. Yeah, but now it's like Knight Rider went over so poorly that they completely redesigned it now.
Yeah, it looks
like now it's not even a specific car. It's like a transformer.
Yeah, and it's got this giant blower on the hood or something.
Yeah, oh, it's ridiculous.
Stupid. And the guy looks like such a nothing drive. You know, the main guy. He's like, there's nothing
he's
interesting.
Got no Hoff charisma.
Yeah, we need the Hoff charisma.
Hoff charisma.
Come on. You know, you got to admit that Hoff.
Hey, I'm a drunken lout womanizer.
You have to admit that Hasselhoff had some kind of presence. This guy doesn't.
Yes, a bad acting presence.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, I have an opinion.
Oh, sorry, Hoff, jeez. But anyway, yeah, I'm not going to be checking the Knight Rider out. You know, I thought about, hey, I'll tag it, but I was like, no, I'm not going to, because I'm not going to watch that piece of shit or whatever.
But as for The Mentalist, yeah, it surprised me. I liked it a lot. I'll continue to watch it.
And there's this new other show on CBS called The 11th Hour with Rufus Sewell, and I have no idea what that's about.
Well, I have to check it out just for the fact that I love Dark City. You know,
yeah. Me too. And at CBS, all of their shows are in gorgeous HD, so you got to give it a...
They really absolutely have the best-looking high-definition television shows.
Yeah, I hate the CSI shows, but they're all gorgeous, you know? Caruso looks... His red hair just gleams. I mean, just...
Red hair and those glasses.
That
and...
carrot top. I love it.
Oh. But anyway, yeah, I've said... I think I should clarify that Dancing with the Stars is the best live HD show, and CBS has the best film TV shows.
Right.
In
if you
HD.
Want to be impressed by your video display, you want something filmed in with video HD cameras, like a football game or Dancing with the Stars. It always makes HD look the best, because a lot of times TV shows are either done on film or they're done on HD, but they want to make them look film-like. They don't want it to look like a sports broadcast. Right, so...
The live stuff doesn't go through as many processing.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, that whole set to Dancing with the Stars is gorgeous, and, you know...
It pops, but the only thing I complain about it now is they've smoked up the set. They use a smoke machine, so there's always a haze now, and it kind of takes away from the pop of the picture, but it's still excellent.
Yeah, and they always have the women in very skimpy outfits.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, they're always in showing off the cleavage and the legs.
You know what's funny about Dancing with
the Stars?
When they Dancing with the Stars, when they eliminate whatever, like Ted McGinley or whatever, they say him and his partner have been eliminated, but technically that chick works there, so she's not going to go anywhere, right?
She won't be back until, unless there's like a group dance with the professionals.
They always do that, though, don't they? The group dances? So,
Yeah, they do it. They normally do it like once every 2 weeks, yeah.
Wah, wah.
So, she'll still have a paycheck. Okay,
I know
anyway.
Way too much about Dancing with the Stars.
Now let's talk
it's
about
embarrassing.
Fringe. I got cut off on the Fringe, but that's a show looks gorgeous in HD also, I must say.
Yeah, and it's very fun. I just have a really good time watching it.
I love the beginning scene where his son is asking the doctor, he goes, did you bring your own sweetener? He goes, no, this is my medication. He's like, you're not on any medication. He goes, oh, I concocted it myself.
Yeah, I make it in the lab.
He's like, you're self-medicating? He's like taking all these different psychotic drugs he's mixed in a cocktail in his tea. I love that.
Scientologists would not be happy with that.
You know, vitamins and exercise is all you
need. Yeah, psychotropic drugs are no-nos.
But what was that weird thing where some guy sets this thing off in a bus and it makes them all like...
In this gel.
Yeah, they're all like stuck in this amber, like the mosquitoes in Jurassic Park in the bus or something. What was that all about?
Wasn't that last week's show?
No, that was this week.
Oh, I must have watched next week's already.
Really? How'd you do that?
Because those are the clips I pulled from this week's.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
This is the one about the guy who sees things through his, and he draws them what happened.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I got the episodes confused. You're right. It's been so long since I watched the whole thing. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot.
So it is the right episode?
Yeah, it's the right episode.
Oh, okay.
I'm a friggin' idiot. Sorry.
No, but I was kind of half watching it. Steven, you were watching it.
Yeah.
You're really into it. I mean, I was dealing with you.
I like the show.
We're dealing with the feed. I love the show, honestly. It's just one of those kind of things where things get pushed back and pushed back. And what really threw me off, you want to know what it is?
Me coming in late.
No.
Oh.
Kitchen Nightmares had two freaking episodes.
That's right.
What the hell is that for? And the first Kitchen Nightmares was really weak, so I have a feeling they were like, let's burn this one off tonight. Let's just get rid of it. But anyway, we'll talk about Kitchen Nightmares next. First of all, let's talk about Fringe and this crazy guy who, why don't you explain
He's not crazy.
Yeah, he's not crazy, but he comes off as crazy at first, where he sees this horrible thing that happens on the bus, and apparently he's predicting these things that happens. And this chemical that people are kind of frozen in the bus leads back to Massive Dynamics, right?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and play this first scene.
The guy who has the visions.
Right, and the doctor is kind of...
prepping him to get the visions.
All right, let's check it out.
Normal pupil response. Taking any medications, prescribed or illicit? You can be truthful, I won't judge. In fact, if the answer is no, I may encourage some drug use.
No.
Any food allergies?
Not that I'm aware of.
Good, good, good. This all checks out. Strap him down. We'll get started.
Okay. Strap me down?
There's nothing to be worried about.
I guess, it must seem pretty silly. Thinking God is talking to me and everything.
What were you supposed to think?
That I was just crazy. I considered that, too.
It's gotta be sort of a relief, right? Knowing there's a rational explanation.
I wouldn't exactly call any of this rational. Do you really think that this is going to help you catch the guys that killed those people on the bus?
You're our best lead. No pressure, huh?
Now, the character of Astrid, I have a feeling it's going to be a running joke where the doctors introduce her every week.
Yeah, he can't remember her name.
Yeah, he's like, tell that young lady, and he's like, that's Astrid. She's an FBI agent. You've met her before. Because last week he was like, nice to meet you. And she's like, oh, you've met me before. So that's kind of a running thing there. But, okay, what we left off was they were giving him a CAT scan, right? And he has metal in his blood or something. And it started doing crazy stuff because, you know, it's magnetic. And it was like, you know, doing something to his body. He's about to kill him, basically. And tell me what happens from there, Bill, because basically after he was drilling in his head, I kind of...
Well, after they discovered the metal in his bloodstream, the doctor discovered that, oh, he actually put it there. He was one of the test subjects from a couple years ago, and they were doing some sort of test on a certain spectrum for use in communications, basically beaming the stuff right to the person. And that's what's causing his visions and voices.
That's so cool.
And stuff like that.
You notice the show, it doesn't have paranormal stuff. It has what could really do crazy science.
Yeah, exactly. Fringe science.
Yeah, there aren't like, ghosts or anything like that. Explainable through their crazy science shit. You know, Dr. Frankenstein type of things.
Yeah. So the doctor, after he realizes, hey, we've worked on this guy before... he sends his son and the investigator chick, can't even remember her name, to their old home because he has all of his old equipment from those tests there. So they're getting him prepped while they send the son and the investigator to the house to get the stuff, and this is whenever they come back.
Okay.
You'll need to be awake for the procedure. But I'm going to give you a mild sedative to reduce any anxiety.
Dr. Bishop, you look really familiar to me.
I hear that a lot. In the mental institution where I live. You'll need a moment. Oh, you've returned. How was the old house? How was Rufus?
Well, the house is just like we left, but we put Rufus to sleep almost 20 years ago, Walter.
Oh, that's terrible news.
We found your equipment.
No, his equipment is basically an electronic halo. He's drilling into his head and implanting this halo in his head.
I think it's time for some intracranial penetration.
God, the delivery on those lines are just terrific.
I love that guy.
There was a line earlier in the show, shortly after the first scene, where he was describing the effects he would get during the procedure, and one of them was involuntary bowel movement.
Right.
You may also experience an involuntary bowel movement.
Just the dry way he delivers that is
classic.
That
guy's worth the price of admission.
I like early on when they were sitting at the diner, he goes, I have decided something very important.
Yeah, what's that, Dad?
I'll never have the pancakes.
Yeah, he never calls him Dad. He calls him Walter. Yeah, I'll
blueberry, in fact.
Yes.
When his phone is vibrating, Peter's phone, he's like looking at it, and then he like puts his hand down to make it stop shaking. I love it. Now,
I also love that he plays the clueless part, but he's got a lot more going on,
right? He's
in his head.
His brain is busy on other intricate things. Yeah,
but he also knows what's going on. You know, it's kind of a he plays more crazy than he is, because also he noticed that his son was involved in some sort of guy following him, taking pictures of his son.
Right,
and he confronted him there, and he. He played it off like he didn't know what was going on, but later in the episode mentions it.
Yeah, he asked him about it, and I have a feeling they're not going to reveal what Peter, his character,
shady business.
Yeah, what kind of trouble he's in, because he wasn't even supposed to come back to the country, is what the guy says. You were supposed to let us know if you came back to the country.
Well, they can only expand on that as soon as possible, because his character is totally uninteresting. You can only take the smart-ass comments for so long.
I really think that that will, you know, the skeptic stuff will die now. You know, you being around your dad and seeing this stuff, don't you think the skeptic stuff would kind of slide to the wayside a little bit?
Yeah, once he sees a bunch of the weirdness, it's like, all right.
But honestly, I think his main concern is his dad's mental health with whenever he's doing something to another human. That's when he's like, I don't know if I trust you with this, Walter.
Well, that was like when Walter said, when he asked about experimenting on this guy's brain, does the patient have to be alive? not killing the guy would be very important.
Yeah, I like comments like that. I think that stuff is funny. And I love when he says, I don't want to do those things. It's just, you know,
it just happened.
Yeah, you know, it's
they
necessary.
Just happen or whatever.
So actually, I think Peter's character can be funny, and you know what I mean. It's just a fine line, I guess you could say, right, Bill?
Yeah,
yeah.
Sorry, I was in the chat room.
Oh,
I'm talking away in the chat room.
What's going on in the chat room?
They were mainly talking. They were wondering if we were going to talk about the Sarah Connor Chronicles this week, and I told them that I hadn't watched it. So they were Frog was particularly disappointed because he loves whenever we argue about it.
Oh, well, he did that one time. But hey, this week had a great moment in it, Bill, where John jumps off a pier into the water, and the Terminator jumps after him, and he sinks to the bottom because he's so heavy.
Did John die?
No, John didn't die. Oh. The Terminator just sank to the bottom.
That is the only thing that's going to save that show for me.
No.
Kill John Connor. The guy is terrible.
Bill,
he's the worst actor on television.
No, I disagree. But Bill, there's this part where he was with his new blonde girlfriend. She goes to
John Connor has a new blonde girlfriend?
Yeah, he goes with her.
What about Cameron?
She's a robot. But he goes with her to try on outfits. She comes out in this dress showing so much cleavage.
I'll have to watch it.
Her breasts are exploding out of the dress. I was just like,
who is this girl? What is her name?
Her character's name is Riley. That's about all I know. But I was like, I literally said, damn! What'd you get? Just like, whoa, ba-blam! Kind of thing. But
okay,
anyway,
I have to watch it now.
Let's go ahead and take a break, Bill. And when we come back, let's talk about Kitchen Nightmares. Yeah. You know, that show is very aptly named, isn't it?
Yeah.
But
she is hot.
Yeah, we'll be right back, everybody.
I like you.
You're serious.
New Nurse cereal is a fruity good part of its complete breakfast. So, now you can get two new Nerd candy flavors, Cherry Cola and Rainbow Nerd, in specially marked Nerd cereal. And you can send for a two-sided Nerd bowl with a Nerd Gate.
Nerd Gate!
For two proofs of purchase and 50 cents, details on specially marked Nerd Gates.
Boom, 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 Nerd boomerang. Boom, 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 Nerd boomerang. Nerd boomerang.
Easy throwing, high or low, it comes back with each good throw.
Boomerang.
You can throw it by yourself or throw it with some friends. Nerf boomerang is safe, soft fun that never, never ends.
Nerf boomerang.
Nerf boomerang from Parker Brothers.
It's tough being a big kid. The bus driver hollered at me. I lost my lunch money, and my teacher told me I wasn't living up to my full potentiality. And I don't even know what that means.
But at Chuck E. Cheese, if you act like a kid, you can have more fun than you ever did.
It's time to get going to a special offer at Pizza Hut. Just come in, order a medium or large Pizza Hut pizza to go, and get this new half-gallon thermal jug for just $1.99. And every time you order another medium or large pizza to go, bring back the jug, or any Pizza Hut jug, and we'll fill it with Pepsi absolutely free.
At your hometown Pizza Hut.
Come in for the jug. Come back for the refills.
Game's dragging on. There's strikes on the batter. Some runners are on. Then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wondering, what could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above, and a baseball falls into my glove. I play right. It's important you know, you gotta know how to catch, you gotta know how to throw. That's why I play in right field, way out where the dandelions grow.
As a proud sponsor of Little League Baseball, Pizza Hut welcomes all the kids who make it great.
Making it great.
These days, everyone's going back to the future, where people are looking at the world through very different glasses. Now bring part of Back to the Future back with you. Drop by any Pizza Hut restaurant, get a pair of futuristic solar shades inspired by the movie Back to the Future Part 2. Only $1.99 with any Pizza Hut pizza. Collect a different pair each week while supplies last. Solar shades from Pizza Hut. They're going like there's no tomorrow.
Pizza Hut, make it great!
Just a game you play. It's a Krispy Corn cereal that's coming your way.
Chomp, chomp, delicious.
They're
Binky and Blinky and Pinky and Fly.
We're Marshmallow Bits.
You find inside.
Chomp, chomp, delicious.
Chomp's Krispy Fat Butt.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
We're Marshmallow Bits that you can chomp too.
New Pac-Man, the cereal.
A delicious part of this nutritious breakfast.
Tidal wave?
No.
Big soft liquid center bubble? Big burst of flavor inside. Hey, Chief, you know why it's called tidal wave?
Flavor Mondo! Tidal wave!
bubble gum. It's a flash flood of flavor from the very first bite.
Now there's something just for you and Pretty Eat from Underoos. Underwear.
E.T. is lots of fun. In my world, he's number one.
G.I. Joe marching ahead. Superman acts standing tall, but that's not all.
There's the Dukes of Hazzard.
Great Batman.
And the Hulk Mammon.
Now from Underoos Underwear, everyone's favorite Pac-Man is here.
Hooray! I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
There's a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with.
I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid.
They've got the best for so much less, you really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
I don't want to grow up, cause maybe if I did, I couldn't be a Toys R Us kid.
Just give me the facts. Every time I try to enjoy a zinger, it gets zapped. See? I didn't see anything. Describe the alleged zingers.
Well, there's devil's food with chocolate icing, gold cake with creamy vanilla, raspberry with coconut, all with cream centers.
It's your imagination, Charlie Brown. There's no zinger zapper. See?
When you have zingers around, there's no escaping.
The
zinger zapper.
I don't want a gum that goes squirt, Steven.
That's disgusting. Yeah, but when you're a kid, it was cool. Now it's just gross.
Yeah, you remember that when you're a kid, you bite in, it's a liquid.
That is so awesome.
Wah, wah. Yes, exactly. Now, Kitchen Nightmares. There were two episodes, and the first one was like this punk Italian kid who had his own restaurant, totally invested by his, was it his fiance or just his girlfriend?
His fiance. It was his girlfriend, almost fiance.
He was stringing her along, basically, for a long
time. She was cute, too.
And, her parents had invested their life savings into this guy. They must have thought he was really talented.
And then some.
But he was, they were in debt. Their house was on the line. And he was a real shithead. And I thought this episode was kind of like, there wasn't much to it.
That's what
honestly.
As we were saying earlier, that it's like, he realized, like, it seemed like almost right at the beginning of the show, I'm an asshole.
Yeah.
You know?
Because they have kind of this fallout, and he goes, come here, look at this kitchen. Look how gross that is. We're going to go clean this. And he's like, no, honestly, you know, I'm an asshole or whatever, you know, Gordon Ramsay, we don't need you or whatever. And Gordon Ramsay's like, I'm done, and he walks out. The kid, for some reason, decides to walk out there and goes, all right, let's talk this out. And everything's straightened out, like, miraculously.
Yeah. It's like, all right, I'm an asshole, I'm just not that big of an asshole.
And he's like, I realize that, and he goes, you know what, I understand you're under a lot of pressure, because this is not your ass on the line, it's your future wife's parents' ass on the line, their home, all their money, but you need to take this more seriously and all that. So, you know, anyway, they have a service. Everything seems fine. I mean, really, there wasn't a lot of conflict, I guess you would say.
No.
Once they got that all out. But I do think the dude had one of the strangest looking hairlines I've seen on a person.
Yeah.
It's just really weird. But anyway.
That's straight across. It was just like.
It's just weird looking. You know, it's kind of like Jamie Foxx has a weird ass looking hairline, too. That weird, like, it's real down low in the middle of your forehead kind of thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, Gordon Ramsay was like, there's one last thing you need to do. And he has a ring. And he goes, you need to go propose to her. And he's like, oh, Gordon Ramsay, that's great or whatever.
Here's this platinum band.
That's the only thing missing. You've been stringing her along. You need to make things right. So he goes in there and he proposes. Everyone's crying. He goes, guess what? I've arranged for you to be married tonight. I would have been like, dude, Gordon Ramsay, what the hell are you doing, man? You can't spring that on us. So they get married right then. And I'm like, this is Gordon Ramsay as Life Fixer, Dr. Phil.
Are we combining shows now?
But it's just funny how they do that. And I was like, this isn't...
I blame the production company. He needs to take a step back and go, okay, what are they doing to my image?
Well, this is like three episodes into it, and all of them have felt really rushed and sloppy. And not that the season one was great or anything, but they went into more detail. But I almost think that they're like, hey, we're picked up for another season. We don't have to try so hard anymore, do we? It feels really rushed and sloppy.
It does.
Maybe Gordon Ramsay.
He goes in, he finds a little mess, he cleans up.
Well, the guy only has so much time. I mean, he just finished, I think, season four of the F Word over in the UK, which goes, I think, 13 episodes over there. And he's got Kitchen Nightmares here. He's got 13 restaurants, I think, around the world. I mean, the guy probably hardly ever sees his family. he's probably a very, very busy man.
He even said that he's busting his ass in New York.
Yeah, and they rush him, and they rush the episodes.
Right, and so, anyway, that episode, great, whatever. You know, I just like, whatever. Throwaway episode. Maybe that's why they aired it the same night as another episode. But this episode had what you wanted. It had conflict. It had an asshole running the place.
Three. But even it was rushed and didn't really have a resolution.
No, it didn't. But it had this guy. God, I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
David.
Yeah, David. Who?
David the douchebag.
He knew everything, and he walks in with these sunglasses. You know. Are you hands-on or hands-off on her? He's like, I'm very hands-on. But
hands on you. Gordy. Gordy.
We'll get to that later, but God, I love that. He's like, Gordy. Like, you just call me Gordy? But anyway, here's the first thing. He, you know, orders some food or whatever. He always tastes the food and says it's crap. And he always watches the first service, right? And he kind of has this argument with David about if it's Maine lobster. Okay, let's check this out.
When was the last time you expedited?
All the time I'm back there.
You're not really back there as much as you were back there tonight.
No, I've never, because it's never been that. We've never had the whole lineup, the whole line with tickets, ever.
David, can you stop being a slippery eel for 15 minutes in front of your team?
Slippery eel.
And answer the truth.
Gordon, the truth is that I'm back there when it's busy every night that I work.
David.
Yeah.
You tell me about the passion with the Maine lobster. Are you aware that the lobsters in your fridge are Canadian?
Same waters, North Atlantic waters.
You're telling me now a Canadian lobster, half the price of a Maine lobster, is the same taste and flavor? There's a big difference. I can't get Maine lobsters.
That's right, so they get them from Canada.
I'm usually Canadian lobsters.
That's right, that's what they do. But
I don't advertise them as Maine.
Tell me, is it a different animal?
Maine is a Canadian lobster for you.
Amartus americanus, same animal, right?
Holy.
I'm asking you a question.
What you're trying to dictate to me is that you're selling Maine lobster. They're not from Maine.
Well, it comes from the same vendor.
Holy. The award-winning Maine lobster roll is Canadian.
He was wrong about the lobster issues. It pissed me off. I thought that was a bit unfair for him to take that stand, and especially since he was incorrect about it.
Incredible.
Christ! Hurts my ears. Damn it. So, what do you think of David after that clip, Bill?
Well, he's still an asshole, and I think Ramsay was exaggerating. It all depends. I mean, Maine borders on Canada. Any eggs that are hatched in Nova Scotia are going to be born, you know, mature in Maine because of, the water movement. But I think the main thing is it's illegal advertising. It's false advertising.
Yeah, I think he just wanted.
I don't think
that
there's any real big difference in taste.
Right.
But it's just the fact that what they're doing is illegal.
He wouldn't have given the guy a hard
time. Maine lobster when it's
from
Canada.
If the guy would have said, yeah, I know, but still, you know, we're just kind of. He would have owned up to it. But instead, he was like, no, I don't understand.
Yeah, he had to be arrogant and go, is there a difference?
But they even show
they're
like
the
during,
same animal
during the employee meeting. He even has employees asking questions. He still doesn't answer, and he's confrontational. Let's check that out.
Okay, David, why haven't we got aprons?
They know where the aprons are. They just don't choose to wear them.
But why can't you say it's policy to be in an apron?
Kat, it's policy for you not to have a drink here after your shift, but you often do.
Oh.
Why can't you ask my question without a question?
I did answer your question.
You did? That is quintessential David. He'll answer you with a question. So to communicate with him can be very frustrating.
David, show the girl some respect, will you? You're great at beating around the bush, you know that.
Is this Bourne Identity music?
In front of everybody, why can't you answer
questions?
Should
see a
questions?
Secret agent in the background.
But I did answer
around.
The question.
Rather trying to be such a smart ass and answering one another question.
Answer the question.
Do you know what I've just discovered? Hmm. You're so full of you'd make a great politician, you know that.
David has the biggest ego. He's very stubborn. And obviously you're not doing everything correct. So get over yourself
I
and
love that
allow
waiter
somebody to help
vegan.
You.
Incredible. I'm surprised you've got anybody working for you.
Jesus Christ! Aren't they going a little overboard with that?
Yeah, it's slightly annoying.
Now, okay, they do the... He always changes the menu, right? He makes it better. My favorite thing is he added that cool lobster claw machine where you could win a free lobster.
Yeah, that was just mildly tacky. You would think that if that was in there before he got there, he'd be like, what the hell is this?
What happens
get this
if
out
he...
of here.
Like, what happens if someone's messing with that and they pull the lobster's claw off and it just is, like, floating in their dead?
It decapitates the lobster.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would happen, but...
But it was donated by somebody, and it was just...
And then all the other lobsters eat the lobster, and they turn into crazy cannibal lobsters, and then break out and kill everyone in the restaurant.
So, basically, the place has three owners, and two of them decided they'll let the new guy... Remember they said at the beginning, is... We didn't want to put any of our own money into it, so we found an outside source, and he would put into that so we could expand kind of thing. And this guy who came in, the third partner, he's the one who wants to run things. And anyway, he does, and everything's shaky. Nothing's, you know, it's the same thing. People like, oh, this is cold in the middle. Oh, okay, let's take it back. Hey, this is cold in the middle. What do you mean it's cold in the middle? Okay, take it back. Oh, this is really good. You know, it's just the same stuff over and over again, right? So anyway, at the very end, this is like the weird ambivalent endings to Kitchen Nightmares now, I guess they have, where he kind of talks about, he basically says the only way this place will succeed is if you cut this David guy out and just get rid of him. So let's see what happens. I love it. He calls him Gordy.
Whilst you've got the hunger and the passion, I don't think your two partners actually give a damn.
Whoa.
You are an honest individual. You're here 2 days a week, but you don't put the effort in. You amaze me.
What?
Because all week long, face to face, you pretend to care.
Oh, Gordon, come on.
You don't give two about this place.
Really?
You're not passionate about running a restaurant.
Really?
You're just abusing it and using it.
What did I do?
I've never met an individual that's so full of in all my life.
How have I been lying to you, Gordy? How? Tell me.
Gordy?
Yeah, how? You want to disrespect me? I can disrespect you.
Gordy. Isn't there a movie named Gordy about a pig?
I'm telling you.
No, you disrespect me because you don't know the truth.
You're just massaging your ego.
Gordon,
what do you mean?
I love it. You're massaging your ego.
From the first minute you walked in this door, standing there with your big long coat and your sunglasses, looking like proud. That was it. First impressions. Then you start debating lobsters because you think you're some smart ass in the back of a few dive books. Are you aware that the lobsters in your fridge are Canadian?
Humanus Americanus, same animal, right?
Humanus Americanus, my arsus. With 21 restaurants under my belt, I work my ass off.
So what?
I know.
So what? I never take anything for granted.
Fascinating, Gordon.
You treat the staff like you amaze me.
Never did that.
Excuse me?
Never. Kat, it's policy for you not to have a drink here after your shift, but you often do.
Never. You can't even be honest with yourself, let alone me. Mate, you've been exposed.
Oh, yeah, exposed.
You're a hypocrite.
Is that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For you, it's about a TV show. This man is about a restaurant. The TV, David. And I mean it. This is real for me. And for you, it's an image.
I disagree with you on almost everything you said.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Why do you disagree?
Because you're wrong. The great God is wrong.
You're a sad My advice is for him to get his partners, get your money out, yeah, and disappear.
Yeah, all right, well, my advice would be for you to disappear, and the sooner the better.
You don't get it, do you?
You, Gordon. Of course I get it.
This person has every chance of succeeding, but not while you are in it. Because you're not passionate. You're soulless.
Say what you like. Let me get out of here.
You're ungrateful. And do you know what really hurts? The amount of effort that's gone into it.
Despite what a you've been to me, I'm still grateful that you were here. I love what you've done.
This guy is
I think that the menu is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
You like it? I don't like it. I don't really like the, I don't like that shrimp thing either.
It's what happens when I've gone.
We had a great coleslaw.
We had a great coleslaw.
We can go back on that. That's ridiculous.
The minute I'm out of that door, you'll slip back into
I'll
the
tell
old
you what. I'll tell
lazy
you what.
Ways.
Why don't you come back in, and, you know, I'm sure you will, and see how it goes.
Yeah. Time will tell.
I guess it will. Thanks again, Gordon.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Good night.
The top there.
Wow. I think a tornado came through. And then Chewy.
A little over the top, Fox, all right?
Wookiees love lobster.
Yeah, so I don't know.
You can't get them on Kashyyyk.
It's the kind of thing we got to keep watching it, right? But it's not a great show at all. There's nothing much to it. And in fact, it's almost like the producers of the show are like, God, I hope somebody's a prick
like,
at this
like
restaurant.
Like Bill has said before, and I think I have too, that the British version, much better.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And,
Bill mentioned it, so I had to watch it, and I do. I like it a lot better.
Honestly, it's not as bad as it looks.
Okay, one thing that... let's talk about Heroes, because...
Do we have to, honestly? This is so bad.
We honestly have to talk about Heroes, Smallville, and... here's the thing. Heroes, Peter Petrelli... Let me just get this part out, okay? Peter Petrelli in the future... Everything has been so screwed up by Nathan Petrelli telling everyone, the world, that they have powers. That Peter Petrelli is being hunted down by evil Claire in black jeans, and she's going to kill him.
Yeah, and her hair's pulled back. That's how you know she's evil.
Yeah, her hair's pulled back very tight. If it was
very
a little
tight.
Loose, you would know there was something maybe good about her, but it's really tight. And she's going to shoot him, even though he has powers and takes the gun away from him. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's running and bursts through a door, even though he can go through walls. But I'm not going to get into that minutiae. What I'm going to say is that not in a million years, why would your quickest idea to be, I'm going to go back in time and kill my brother, shoot him before he can tell the world this. When I can time travel, I could go back maybe the day before, 2 hours before Nathan's going to say this and go, dude, I'm from the future. Look, I have the scar to prove it. You screw up everything when you tell the world we have powers. Please don't do it. Everything goes to hell. There are camps. They kill people. It's just mass genocide. It screws up everything. Please don't do it, Nathan.
And watch out for your mom. She's evil.
And what would he say probably is, Peter, okay, that's good. But instead he's like, I'm going to shoot him because I don't have time to explain anything. Blam, blam, blam. I'm going to go hide the gun in the back. That made no sense at all. He cast Peter into Weevil's body from Veronica Mars. I didn't understand any of that either. There was a lot of stuff I didn't understand, okay? But I will tell you this. My favorite part of the whole thing was... Brundle Mohinder. Brundle Mohinder. It's Jeff Goldblum, but it's Mohinder. He comes up with this hero serum.
Which it's so funny though, because he completely disproves everything his father's research was in like 30 seconds.
In nanoseconds. Yeah, Maya's like, you didn't do anything to help me. He's like, hey, I'm sorry. I'm going back to India. Everything's... She's like, you really pissed me off. And her eyes turn black. He goes, wait a second. Your eyes went black when he got mad. That's not that part of the brain. That's from your adrenaline. hey, the adrenal glands, I'm going to go investigate. Hey,
he couldn't have figured that out on anybody else.
In the same scene, he figures out he can give people powers off of it.
Yes.
And
then he immediately goes to create the serum to give himself powers.
Right. He thinks about throwing it away. Maya's like, you must destroy that. If it gets in the wrong hands, you know, naturally she's right. If this gets out on the black market, much like 4400, who already did the storyline, by the way.
Yeah.
Everyone could have powers and stuff. But there's side effects.
You'll have Brundle, everybody.
Now, I want to tell you this. There's Jeffrey Combs played a doctor on 4400 who comes up with this thing that gives you powers. He injects himself. He's his own human lab rat. At first, he feels great. Then his body starts rotting and gets real weird. He looks all effed up. But then it's almost like he goes through like this weird metamorphosis, and he comes out as like a perfect human or whatever. Something like that. I don't remember. The show got canceled. But anyway, this seems very similar to that because Mohinder, something went wrong in his formula. A fly landed in the vial as he was staring at it, apparently. And I love this scene right here. Maya shows up, and Mohinder's on the ceiling, and he's
hanging upside down.
And she's kind of freaked out or whatever. And let's check it out.
I came to apologize about last night. I'm sorry. I was so. How did you just do that?
That serum I made. You know how I said it would give abilities to anyone instantaneously?
You didn't.
I sure did.
No.
You said it still needed to be perfected.
I was wrong. And the results have been beyond my wildest dreams. I woke up this morning and I've never felt anything like it. I've been cataloging the whole experience, monitoring my vitals.
So, it didn't give you my abilities?
Far from it. My senses are heightened. I'm
way
stronger,
better than yours.
Faster, more agile,
I'm bounded.
I'm like a new Spider-Man.
Watch this.
Spider-Man.
I brought a blood sample, checked reflexes, hormone levels, blood pressure, balance. They're all normal.
I'm just like Peter Parker.
I am completely the same in every way.
My God. It's unbelievable.
You're unbelievable. Let's have sex.
I find myself incredibly horny right now.
It's only a matter of time before I figure out a way to reverse the effects. Take the powers away.
I can fix
your powers. And this all came from you, Maya.
But first, let's have sex.
What's inside that?
I love
this extraordinary body of yours.
Whoa!
You're so stupid and hot. Let's have sex.
You know what's funny? Maya's character is so, like, way underwritten. They've got nothing for her to do, obviously, from the previous season. But she is smoking hot, so I was like, yeah, Mohinder! Yeah, do that!
Little side boob action.
Yeah! And it was nice, but here's the thing. Didn't you guys have a feeling that the whole Nathan, when he was assassinated on the season finale last time, they had no idea who did it, and they just came up with Peter for this new season, and the explanation was so just weak, you know? And we also have...
it's heroes. What else, you know?
I did like Siler and Claire. They did the Halloween thing where he's like stalking around the house. She hides in the closet.
And she hides in a frigging closet with the
He just
like,
uses powers to
doors.
Yeah, he's just toying with her or whatever. I don't know why. Maybe till the next commercial break. But he pulls her skull cap off and he's feeling around in her brain. And I do like the line where she says, are you going to eat it now? Eat my brain? And he's like, that's disgusting. So he tells her something like,
yeah, but then that
special.
Leads to one of the worst, most groan inducing lines ever.
Which part?
Oh no. Oh, I can't feel any pain. That's the only thing that made me feel human.
Yeah. She's like, that bit of pain is what made her still feel human and not.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, okay, I will say this, Bill. I like Heroes, and I'll still watch it. It is incredibly motarded.
You know what? It has entered Smallville zone.
There's a bit... I still have fun with the show, but I'm just like... There's times I'm just like, come on! Peter...
Exactly.
I've talked about it before. Peter Petrelli is the dumbest human being on the planet.
Right.
Because his
Him
mom...
Him and Maya should get together.
I like when his mom says, you're not as smart as you think you are, the whole screwing up time or whatever.
Yeah.
Here's another part.
It's that movie, The Butterfly Effect.
They've determined already, Claire's determined, her blood heals all, right? She goes, Peter, I can help you with your brother. just get me there. My blood. He goes, no, Claire, you're in another state. We don't have time. Hello, you can teleport, you dipshit. You can stop time. Stop time. Go get her. Come right back. Inject the blood. He's fine. No, none of that. He's like, no, the Earth's too far away. Boo hoo hoo. My brother's dying. When, dude, you could go back in time like a few minutes and stand over there and see who shoots him or something. The thing is, when you write all this time stuff and you give people powers that are so incredible, I would hope that you would come up with all the things they could do with those powers and put that in the way you're writing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's rules they need to follow.
Right. Like, for instance, when we joked about how Peter, the season finale, he was trying to pull that vault door. He's like going, like pulling the vault door off its hinges. When they've already established he can walk through walls. Just stuff like that. Like here he's running real fast. He's being chased at the beginning. And the dude, he's like Jumper, right? Have you seen Jumper? He can teleport. Wouldn't it be cool to show him go or something like that? Just show something where he's using powers. He's not a jackass. And the whole Nathan thinks he's found God and all that. I don't understand what that is.
No, that's weak shit.
Linderman's invisible talking to him.
Matt Parkman's now in Africa with another painter. Ugh.
What did you feel, Steve, when they introduced a new painter who paints the future or whatever?
Another ridiculous addition for no reason.
I honestly thought before I even watched this, I was like, I told you this, Bill, because you'd already watched it, and you kind of laughed and said, as long as they don't go in any more timeline shit, just stop it with the time travel. I think it'll have a chance. And you just started laughing. I was like, oh, crap, they did it again. They got to have future Peter screw something up with the butterfly. Okay, here's another thing. Here's what I want to tell everyone. Even if you don't agree with me about heroes or whatever, you know, I still have fun with certain characters and everything like that. They're setting this up from this first episode where by the end of the season, everything will be reversed and none of what is happening will have happened. Do you realize that? Because future Peter screwed all this up. So none of that stuff you've seen, like Siler took part of her brain or whatever, will that have happened? Will Mohinder have slept with Maya? Will he even have injected himself with the thing? Will he have even created the serum? You know, all of that, when you're playing with that time and how if he fixes it, none of that stuff would have happened. None of the villains would have escaped. What if they go back and by the final episode, none of that happened? Isn't the whole season just a big cheat?
Yeah. A big kick in the ass.
That's why I don't like that time crap. It really just makes my brain hurt. But
yeah, and also we haven't mentioned that the worst actress ever on television is also back on the show this year. Allie Larder?
Yeah, we knew she wasn't dead.
Oh my God. And now she's playing a different character who might be a clone or a twin of Jessica, or what the hell was the other one? Nikki Saunders.
I do like that they had William Catt, the greatest American hero, and they had Bruce Boxleitner.
Bruce Boxleitner, yeah.
How awesome is that?
I mean, they wasted William Catt.
Yeah, they wasted him.
Now Nikki has Iceman powers.
No, it's not Nikki. That's Tracy.
Her name isn't Nikki.
I'm sorry. I'm just Tracy. Still thinking like that. And how much did it bother you that the way they propel things forward? I have a problem with this, like, where I talked about zombie movies too, or horror movies. The only way to propel things forward is to make people do stupid things. And that always bothers me. Hero, who has utmost respect for his father now, his father tells him, his father's dead. His last wishes is for you to protect, never open the safe, just protect it. He's like, well, I've got to open it. I'm a hero or whatever. And so he opens it up and he takes it out and immediately gets stolen by this girl who can run real fast.
How does she know he's opening it right then? And you know?
Because it's heroes, Steven.
No, I understand. No, I'm not asking that.
The whole plot was propelled forward by him being stupid and opening it. That's what I have a problem with. That kind of surprised me nuts.
He went from the most loved character to quite possibly the most annoying character.
And he sees Ando shooting him with the rays or whatever. Because
Red lightning. Ando's now a Sith.
Let me ask you this. Is the Mohinder serum going to get out there and everyone's going to start having powers?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what Mohinder
What if they all turn into the fly?
Will everything go to shit? Like, Mohinder, you're getting worse. No, I'm getting better.
Are they going to have that line? Sex with me.
That would be a great line. And I love where he's like, he's got the
I have a museum of all my body parts.
I love that. I can't wait till he like throws up on Peter's leg, like in The Fly, and it's like, and it like disintegrates his ankle, and he's like, but okay, they also revealed that Angela Petrelli, I guess Peter's mom, she's got these dream powers. Some people already figured out, but she goes to Siler. Oh, I'm jumping all over the place, but there's certain things I do love on the show that crack me up. One was the dashboard cam of the two agents trying to capture Siler. I thought that was hilarious. They shoot him with a taser and he just goes and throws him back. I thought that was funny. And also the way Kristen Bell, she is a great actress. She plays the like Did clueless, see? Wanting, looking for some kind of affection from her father thing. Well, and, but when Siler shows up and he's going to kill her and take her powers and her dad could turn things gold. But anyway, they free the
Goldfinger.
They free the villains, right? And yes. He is knocked unconscious or whatever by her lightning. And he's pinned down in a cell. And Angela Petrelli goes and she's like, you know, Gabriel or whatever. I don't know. She basically hints that she's his mom.
Yeah.
They're screwing with us.
Because Peter was always disappointment, and you were much more, exceptional or whatever. But, you know, you got to hand it to Siler. He is more put together, but they have his character get captured rather easily, don't they?
Well, he's the foil, you know? He's always getting captured.
You know, cutting her head open, and she just explodes, essentially. Yeah. That
he
wasn't
should have been
easy.
Wearing a rubber outfit, shouldn't he? Rubber vest or something?
Yeah.
Some rubber gloves.
He needs, like, a whole new bodysuit.
And what was with the villain setting some dude on fire at a gas station or whatever?
Or in a gas
station. The German.
Wasn't that a little gruesome for primetime television on NBC?
Yeah, they're always trying to do something, you know.
We gotta watch this train wreck, don't we?
Yeah, well, we have to. It's like I said, it's no different than Smallville being a train wreck.
Why can't
wreck?
They make Peter just smarter? He's got cool powers, and
no one on this show can be smart because they have stupid writers.
Mohinder. I love the scene. It's so stupid. He decides to inject himself with the serum. He gets knocked unconscious, and these guys are like, hey, check it out. Give me your wallet, man.
Yeah.
I'm not a generic, like, cliche character at all. You're in the wrong place at the wrong... I'm going to throw you. Oh, I've got powers. Oh, shit. Get the hell out of here.
I'm going to bend your gun.
It's like the same scene. There's always a... If you watch a movie with a guy who knows martial arts, he's always going to be into a bar talking to someone, and there's always going to be a rowdy guy who's like, hey, baby, what's up? Hey, I'm going to have to ask you. It's like, me and my buddies have... And then all of a sudden, a karate fight busts out. Yeah. It's the same crap. If you walk
Gymkata, Haikiba.
They did it best in Roadhouse.
if you're in Heroes, and you've got powers, and you don't want to show them to the audience yet, some thug is going to come up. Yo, man, give me your wallet. It's like, oh, now I can reveal to the audience how strong I... Roar! I can crush this gun with my bare hands. But, yeah, let's go ahead and get into Smallville real quick. Smallville introduces Starkiller from The Force Unleashed.
Yeah, that was so weird to see him on there. Like, oh, hey, there's Galen Merrick.
You could even see him emoting on the show. I want to go, dude, what are you doing acting? No,
I was waiting for the lightning to come out of his hands.
But he was, like, showing genuine, like, awkwardness and stuff with Chloe. I thought it was really good. I mean, he's a good actor, but I just want to go, no. They don't act on this show. They just kind of read the lines.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
You're trying
too
hard.
Not supposed to be trying to act here.
Yeah, I know you have talent, stuff, but stop. But
you can't show up Erica Durant.
Yeah, there was like this bus explosion because didn't that chick, that girl, the little waist
girl. She's a little lightning, a little...
Well, her in the face, when you look at her, she had dark hair, but she reminded me of Michelle Williams from Dawson's Creek, but like a young version. I don't know, just in the face to me. I don't know.
She looked like someone to me, but I couldn't place it.
I'm kind of
have no idea
there,
who
but,
she looked like, but...
Yeah. But anyway, what did you guys think of Smallville this week?
Just what Chewie says.
Yeah.
I love all
Chewie's
the...
Chewie's right.
Don't you love all the Lois and Clark Lois, scenes where he, she's making fun of his outfit?
Yeah, he comes in a flannel. I thought you were leaving the farm behind.
And she calls it a wardrobe malfunction. And what? Did they really need someone to replace Lex, like this evil woman?
No. Tess, whatever her name is. I'm evil.
And Chloe, naturally, she wants to help this girl who... Yes. I did like the scene where she tells Clark about this guy who, you know, they had powers and they escaped from this place and he was a real jerk or whatever. Let's go visit him. And the scene where he's, like, freaking out and she basically blows him up or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think that...
He just happened to be standing by flammable barrels of oil in the back of a...
It's just, like, know, it's like in video games. There's always flammable barrels everywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
But I love her smile, like, I blew him up or whatever. But, I mean, what is there to say about this episode? Dive in there, Steven, and I get nothing.
Yeah.
I mean...
Talk into it, Steven.
There really was not... It was just a... little weird episode about 33.1, you know, essentially.
I was excited to see Sam Witwer on the show. And
I was, too.
I think he's good stuff, and...
I think he's a better actor than...
Well, just look at that scene where he does with Clark, and he's like, congratulations on your engagement. He's like, engagement? I'm Tom Welling. I can't act out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
Like, engagement? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, he is this, like...
I wasn't supposed to say
the expression
anything.
On his face, like, genuine...
Cue
American.
Surprise.
And that's another thing. On Heroes, I want Siler to put Allie Larder's character into a giant paper bag and seal her up and go, act your way out of it. She's like, no! Because she's trapped in there forever. Wouldn't you love to see that? But anyway,
in real life,
I would actually just love to see the show go off the air at this point.
No, come on, we gotta have Heroes, dude. It's all NBC's got. Didn't you see that big giant fake premiere party on the red carpet?
Oh, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in
like,
my
there's
life.
No premiere. What
in,
are they
an
doing?
An hour before the show comes on, the 2 hour premiere, they talk about how great they were for an hour.
That's all NBC has, though. You know what I'm excited about? Next week, Life comes back. That's a good show.
Yes, that is a good show.
As long as they stay away from people hiding information in video games like Prince of on their Xbox. There's this one laughably bad episode, Steven, last season. It wasn't even a bad episode. It's a bad moment on the show where...
And the girl gamer could beat the police officer guy gamer.
Yeah, this... certain character hid documents inside Prince of Persia on Xbox.
No. Yeah, the only way you had to get to level 8. I don't even think there's levels in Prince of Persia.
And this girl was really good at it, so she had to play it in order to whatever. It was really bad. But anyway...
Oh, and they happen to be Arab also.
Right. And back to Smallville, though, Bill. That girl, I don't remember what her the goth girl.
Yeah.
She's locked up in the evil Lex chick. I don't see you see
Tess
how much...
Mocker.
Yeah, Tess. Miss Tess Mocker. Is that really who she is? Miss Tess Mocker? I didn't even put that together, did you?
Yes. No, who she is.
Wow, she's Miss Tess Mocker from Superman the movie. That shows how much I'm investing in this.
Exactly.
Hey, I was busy working
that
on
that just
Twitch.
Shows how much that we don't care at this point.
Seriously, I probably would have paid more attention, but I was working on clips for the show. But anyway, there's...
But no, her name is Tess Mocker, not Miss Tess Mocker. It's
I got it.
Two names. They used the name.
Nice. So anyway, to show everyone how great dialogue, acting, pretty much the whole package comes together on the show, here's the waif chick talking to Miss Tess Mocker. Tess Mocker. Let's just...
Yes.
Yeah.
Hello, Bet.
You should have died on that bus.
Oh.
The last time
acting
we met, things did get a little fiery.
Oh, I got a little fiery.
So, they're taking you to Belle Reve. I'm sure after a few years of good behavior, they'll let you see the sun again. Or you could come with me.
I'd rather be a prisoner there than your lab rats in Montana. Go push your cheese somewhere
else. That's good.
Why is she talking like that? like Elmer Fudd.
I didn't build that place, Bet. And after I heard about all the terrible things happening there, I closed it down. I tried to tell you.
If you shut down the Thunderdome, then why are you still coming after me?
Whoa, one man.
Because you're a very powerful person.
Me explain?
It's about time the world started treating you accordingly. Don't you?
No! Lester! He's just a child!
I want to introduce you to some people. Like
yeah, can this scene play out any longer? I got a place to catch, all right?
Who run by a town?
A team?
If you ever notice at the end of Smallville are the longest scenes known to man, because they're filling up the hour. It always is.
It's like they need the exposition to clear up the stupidity.
Alone. Angry.
Feeling lightheaded, you guys.
Trapped.
We're feeling trapped.
The injustice.
Yeah, we're trapped.
We're trapped in Smallville.
I can help, but
I like the tone.
The team's only
the
as good as its weakest link. Look what happened to me on the bus.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
Why scat at somebody who's just gonna choke on their own smoke?
Wow.
Choke on your own smoke.
Don't be so hard on yourself.
I've told people that before.
Why don't you choke on your own
smoke? We'll make a
smoke.
Hero out of you yet.
Make a woman of you yet.
So, yeah.
Thought I made myself clear. You were only used violence if you were in danger.
Man, where's
Miss Tessmacher is putting together the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, how awesome is that?
Thought I told you. You were only supposed to act.
What I'm hoping...
That's where Lex is.
That's what
He's
I'm hoping.
He's at the Legion of Doom headquarters.
They're in a swamp where the thing rises out of the swamp. But they need to have an episode where the Legion of Doom, like all the villains, go against Green Arrow and his guys, and they walk away from an explosion in slow motion. I think that would be really cool. No one's ever done that before, and it'd be really awesome.
Like, would this girl be Cheetah? Like... Legion of Doom.
I was trying to think that who they're hinting at with the power blast or whatever.
Maybe she's supposed to be Gorilla Grodd, because she's got that deep voice.
But she was talking like this.
Swallow your own smoke.
Yeah, she's Solomon Grundy.
So, there you go, superpowered zombie.
Awesome. But yeah, what was that bit at the end where Sam Witwer's character was all like, like pulsating on the ground? What was going on?
Yeah,
there?
I think maybe he's. I don't know.
I mean,
you're infected.
We already know who he is based on cast.
Maybe he's actually Solomon Grundy.
Didn't you guys hear who he's cast to be on the show?
No, who is he?
You guys want? It's a spoiler.
I don't care.
It's Smallville.
His character is Doomsday.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
Oh.
And I have no idea. I didn't read Superman when Doomsday was around, so I don't know what the origin of his character is or who he is.
That's an EMT.
But if it's
that's kind of stupid.
If it's as faithful as the Martian Manhunter's character is, then it doesn't matter anyway. They just put.
But I mean, Doomsday was created on Krypton, so I'm confused.
I could have sworn I read that he was cast as Doomsday. So
yeah, I'm sure he is. I mean, I don't put it past the writers of Smallville.
As long as he's not a liquid metal, just like Brainiac, I think we'll be okay. Now, okay, let's talk about... we were talking earlier about Entourage, kind of. This is kind of a throwaway episode.
Yeah.
Where it's setting up that Eric... You know, basically they... It's about Ari and that rival agent kind of...
That was pretty funny, the little go-between between them.
I thought the part was funny where he's like, but it was also disgusting where he says, send that $100 to him with human feces.
Yeah.
After he's racing his Ferrari with the guy.
I like when he bitch slapped him. He's like, that was a bitch slap.
That scene was really uncomfortable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
That was really uncomfortable. Everybody's watching. Yeah. Because when he sends a picture of his girlfriend...
His wife.
Naked.
No, his wife.
No. Ari sends him a picture of his girlfriend, but he says, I broke up with her. She did everybody. It's no big deal. And then he sends a naked picture of his wife, where she was in
some movie,
Meatballs 3 or something. I don't know, but some kind of summertime, summer beach, Sizzle Beach 3 or something. So he takes offense to that and bitch slaps him or whatever. But the other stuff was about Vinny going to a party and singing. It was Fran Drescher and Kevin Pollak. The funny part of that is when they introduced their slut daughter.
The part where they said, yeah, we'll have you floating in the pool on a big thing of ice dressed as Aquaman.
Yeah, he's like, I'm out of here.
Well, I don't think so.
But the whole thing, if they where Eric sets up the script with Carla Gugino's character, and now Edward Norton likes it, but he wants to call the movie Smoke Jumpers. And then if he yanks the script from her, you know, that's what it looked like was going to happen on the previews. They've already done the storyline before with the Joey Ramone script. Remember that? With that actor? Shit. But
Martin Landau.
Martin Landau. And then they
pulled the strings.
Yeah. It's kind of repeating. So I hope it's not exactly the same thing where they screw her over or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
But the best part, I laughed my ass off when because drama's been so depressed and drunk the whole time. But at the end when he's singing with Vinny, and then he's like, all over the birthday cake.
Oh.
And the thing I thought was funny is the birthday girl, who's like the spoiled rich girl, is she's laughing at it. She doesn't give a crap, but...
No.
Yeah. I mean, we know at times that drama's character is completely unrealistic, doesn't act like a real person.
No, he's a complete asshole.
He doesn't act like anyone in the real world acts, hopefully. No. But actually, Turtle kind of took
his neurotic, like, it's just getting on my nerves at this point.
Yeah, I like funny drama stuff, but who knows how.
Yeah, I don't like this neurotic, drunken drama.
Yeah, I mean, it was the best stuff was the Ari and Lloyd stuff. But other than that, everything was just kind of like, okay, whatever, let's see what happens next week. The show's 10 minutes long, anyway. But let's go ahead and talk about True Blood real quick. Did you get to see that, Steven?
Yes.
This is a great show. The thing is, every time it ends, aren't you ready to watch the next episode? It kind of reminds me, in a way, it's not the same as Dexter, but Dexter, at the end of every episode of Dexter, I'm like, oh, shit, I want to watch the next one right now. You know? Yeah. And they always, and I have a feeling they're going to do this, where they always end it on kind of a cliffhanger where, like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? But, you know, the episode begins where she shows up at Bill's house at, and there's these three creepy vampires there. And did they make them as just disgusting as possible? Especially that big bald dude. He's just like all creepy. And he's like, somebody needs to, you know, give him a blowjob or whatever. But what was that about?
Yeah, that was bizarre.
And the weird man boy kind of sex slave blood thing or whatever. What'd they call
him?
Yeah,
who has Hep C or Hep D.
What'd they call him, a pincushion or something?
Did you think that they kind of led on that the True Blood, it doesn't really work? It was just a fake ploy so the vampires could come out?
They think it's crap. They can drink it and live off of it, but they don't want to.
Okay.
It's obvious those people have no... Those vampires have no qualms. They like killing humans. It's their prey, and they have fun. They enjoy doing
that's
it.
That's what I was... I say it was just like, what you know, I didn't understand whether they just didn't like it or they liked that aspect of the killing.
Yeah, they just don't want to do that.
And they don't want to do that. They don't want to be like pets, if you want to call it that.
And I thought it was interesting that Bill says that they live in a nest. When vampires live together and they kind of like indulge each other or, you know, kind of like enablers, they're evil because they don't. They look down on humans, but he's more of a loner vampire. He just happens to know these other vampires. Because I guess when you're a vampire, everyone is still around because they live for so many years that it's good
to
know who other vampires are, I would think. Maybe a certain vampire that bit you is still alive and bit other people. I don't know. But anyway, the thing I love best about this show is Sookie, her character. And her brother just cracks me up. He's such a loser. He's such a moron. But that weird fight he has with the girl about not being able to get it up. And he goes to that weird black dude's house, and he wants to buy Viagra off of him. He's like, that's legal drugs. I only sell illegal drugs. But he sells vampire blood, which they've already, you know, established that if you drink it,
makes you more sexual.
Yes, makes you more virile and whatever. And I don't understand where they're going with the Tara character and the bartender guy who's in love with Sookie. You know, they decide to sleep together this one time.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the characters on the show. That's one thing that I like that they establish. The really sad and realistic scene is when Tara goes home to her alcoholic mother. That was really sad, wasn't it?
That was.
So she's like, all right, let's go get you in the tub. You know, and all of a sudden, mom
cracks her over the head with a bottle.
Freaking bottle. It's like, bitch.
Where the hell you been, you slut? What have you been doing? And it's just, like, really sad. But, I mean, I really like the show. I know I'm not talking about all of it, but apparently...
It's enjoyable.
It's almost like they haven't given us enough. We need to see more. We haven't been given a full picture yet. Just little bits.
Yeah, I mean, we can only talk about what we know so far.
And
we don't know.
Bill tells her little clues about vampires. He's revealed... Have you noticed that they're supposed to keep it secret, but he's very forthcoming with vampire secrets to her. Like, they're susceptible to silver. And also... That guy has hepatitis D, and he explains to her it's like the one thing that they are susceptible to, and it makes them very weak, where they could easily be staked through the heart. And it's just kind of like, they're giving us little clues to future-wise. And that's one thing, is I was asking you, Bill, like, these are based on books by Charlene Harris, and would you be interested in reading the books?
I can't say I would be.
My sister read the first book.
And she really liked it?
She said, it's nothing like.
Well, I've read a thing with Alan Ball, and he said basically what they did is they've taken events from the books, but they make it happen quicker for the TV show.
Like non-sexual, but then, you know, there's all this.
Well, I've heard they are, maybe just in the later books or whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
But see, that's the thing. It's almost like Dexter. Like, do I read the book and ruin the show for me? But some people said it's okay now. But didn't a new Dexter book just come out, Bill?
Yeah, Dexter in the Dark. But it's,
has it gone a separate way?
It's more of a supernatural thing. It's not really, like the first two Dexter books.
Yeah, what is that about? Have you read reviews on the book? Is it good?
Yeah, I have. People aren't really digging it.
Wow, that's a shame.
Yeah, it goes. It's going into a place where it should have never gone.
Almost like the Thomas Harris novels.
Yeah.
But anyway, that we'll talk more about True Blood next week. And Dexter's back too. I love that show.
I already watched the first episode of the third season and really enjoyed it.
Did it, when it ended, were you like, oh, crap, I got to wait forever for the next episode? Yeah, that's good. That's a sign of a good show, right? Other than, like, when Heroes ended, where you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what happens next week. Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens with Nikki's Iceman powers. I hope she slides on one of those things like Iceman. Like Spider-Man and me.
Freezes her stuff and then breaks her head off?
Yeah! Alright, we're taking forever to do the show. Let's do the news!
Also experience an involuntary bowel movement.
You're so full of you'd make a great politician, you know that.
Huh? Alright, Bill, what's in the news this week?
Before I get into the news, I have to give a shout out to a site I discovered today that I really, really love. Some fans of the show may already be aware of it. It's RetroWare TV, RetroWareTV.com. It's a couple of guys that do like their video game reviews, but they go, it's basically like the Hollywood Saloon for classic gaming. They go so in depth into stuff, and it's just so fascinating. They have they do like these little episodes where it's just they call them their webcam reviews, where they'll talk about shows. Like their most recent one is Tron, where they talk about certain versions of Tron. And this one, they talked about the Atari 2600 game Tron: The Adventures of Tron.
What? I don't even know what
Yeah, exactly.
That is.
They have their standard show, which is just RetroWare TV, where they do these episodes that are in multiple parts. Like they did one episode that covered Afterburner, Operation Wolf, Pole Position, Gyrus. Their first episode of season one is what got me hooked. They talked about Ninja Gaiden, and they talked about the version of Ninja Gaiden that was on the Sega Master System that I had no idea that even existed.
Really?
They talked about that great Hideo Kojima game, Snatcher, that was on the Sega CD.
Yeah.
They talk about Double Dragon. Episode 2, they talk about Contra and Street Fighter 2 and Super Breakout. I mean, they just get really in-depth into these games and cover them in different incarnations and their origins. And it's a couple of guys around our age that just really love gaming. And now they've expanded it into all kinds of different shows. Like, not only do they have RetroWare TV, they have, like, the video game Takeout, where they have they talk about like old Game Boy games or just games that are for portable systems like the Game Boy and Game Boy Advance, Neo Geo Pocket, stuff like that. They have the Happy Video Game Nerd, which talks about great classic games. Like there's an episode
it's the big master control program everybody's been talking about.
Episode for like Nightshade, which was a great Nintendo game, Star Tropics. Splatterhouse 2 for the Genesis. They have a show called From Pixels to Plastic, where it's about video game collecting of, like, the toys. Yes, The Gaming Historian, which talks about, like, classic characters, classic systems. It's really a terrific site. If you're a classic game fan, if you're just a gamer in general, you really, really enjoy it. These guys are terrific.
I'll definitely check it out.
Yeah, you really need to. It's really just a terrific site for anybody that loves like classic gaming and gaming in general. In fact, one episode they do from season two, they do it at that fun spot at Lake Winnipesaukee. I believe it's in Maine. That place was featured in the King of Kong. It's that museum where they have all that, and they talk to people that were in the King of Kong, and it's just so cool to get a look at the place. I've always wanted to go there.
But they have that guy who talks about the kill screens coming up.
They talk to Brian Koo, who's hilarious in his interview because he basically says that they created material, like things that were never said. They put on film somehow with them saying it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
It's such crazy conspiracy BS. Like they don't want to appear as bad as they looked, so they're making shit up.
Seriously, that dude needs to get out of the house. I guess besides an arcade, that doesn't count. You need to go somewhere else.
I think the only other episode I watched that I really liked was Episode 6 from Season 1, and they talked about Mortal Kombat, the original, and Chrono Trigger, which was a terrific role-playing game on the Super Nintendo. But you guys will love this. RetroWareTV.com. Check it out. I went through like the entire site. I should have been working on clips and everything, and I ended up watching it. I mean, people know, like, Angry Video Game Nerd, and he just bashes stupid games and stuff. But these guys are true game lovers, and they really get into it. And I was obsessed with the one where the one guy, John D., talked about Operation Wolf, you know, the arcade game and how great it was and the different incarnations of it on the console systems, because that was one of my all-time favorite games. If there were two games I could have in my basement in mint condition, it would be Operation Wolf and Terminator 2, the arcade cabinet with the guns.
No, I'd rather have Beast Busters. I love that game.
Oh, I would like Ikari Warriors, too.
Yeah.
I'd love to have my own arcade. That's just it. I want my own arcade.
I want an 80s arcade, definitely.
Yeah. That's why I want to go to early 90s Fun Stop so much. But I just had to get that out there. RetroWareTV.com. Check it out.
All right, definitely.
Great stuff.
All right.
All right, we doing the news?
Yes.
We played the music, so it's time for me to grab my stories. We all believe in miracles, okay, I think. Unless you're Steven. Arkansas City, Kansas. How's that? He's popped up on trees, sandwiches, even a Cheeto. And now Jesus is leaving his mark, so to speak, on a ceiling tile in Arkansas City, Kansas.
Why don't people just stop with this? Seriously?
Yes, I know. Isn't it crazy? The image appeared at the One Stop Body Shop.
Nice.
A low-impact weight loss clinic for women. So basically, it's a workout place for fat chicks. It's like Curves. A client was laying here looking up and told me, "Michelle, you have Jesus on your ceiling." I kind of looked at her, and she said, "You do, Jesus on the ceiling."
You did not lose the weight.
I think it's a silhouette and kind of a partial beard, said Dominique Sarton, the Body Shop staff member. She said if it had leaked a little more, it would be a beard on the other side, too. So is seeing believing? Believing is believing, regardless of what you see, said Sarton. The towel has been there for 3 weeks, and whatever they decide to do with it, they say it won't be hard to say goodbye. Basically, they have a leaking ceiling, and Jesus told them it's leaking, I guess.
Well, that's nice of it.
And I'm looking at the tile, and it's a freaking stretch.
If you don't move, you're going to lose the damn thing.
It'd make it stop leaking.
Yeah, exactly. It really was Jesus on the towel. He'd stop the leak.
This sounds like a business is trying to get people in the door to me.
Yeah. Well, maybe they could put it up on eBay, like the Virgin Mary grilled cheese.
My favorite is anything that has to do with Cheetos, like any kind of Jesus Cheeto or Mary Cheeto.
I think if you actually eat the Jesus Cheeto, you get magical powers.
I know. There was one about this lady had, was it a Jesus Cheeto? I can't remember.
Yeah.
And I literally would not look at it enough. I just went, I would just eat it.
Yeah.
So,
you would want, it's like, you know, kind of like the thing, the communion that they do at Catholic Church, body of Christ.
Yeah.
Body of Christ. You're actually eating.
Instead of a wafer, tasteless wafer, it's a Cheeto.
Yeah, you get a Cheeto. That's.
And it's delicious.
Yeah, and you wash it down with a little grape juice.
A cheese flavor. Or
no,
snack.
Grape juice or the blood of Christ, whichever you prefer. Come on, it's Welch's grape juice, all right? Come on.
All right, Halifax County, North Carolina.
Why can't it be
cops are searching
Kool-Aid?
For a guy who successfully passed a $200 bill bearing George W. Bush's portrait and a drawing of the White House, complete with lawn signs reading, "We like ice cream."
What?
The phony Bush bill was presented to a cashier at the Food Lion in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, on September 6th by an unidentified male who was seeking to pay for $150 in groceries. Remarkably, the cashier accepted the counterfeit note and gave the man $50 change.
Dun, 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 dun,
wow. In a separate incident involving a different perp, Roanoke Rapids cops Tuesday arrested Michael Harris, 24, for attempting last month to pass an identical $200 Bush bill at a convenience store. Wow, people are really, really dumb.
Sucks.
That's pathetic.
$200.
Nice. All right, a 34-year-old. I need some water. Can somebody get me some water?
Right,
sure.
Here you go.
Nice. A 34-year-old motorist was arrested over the weekend after he gave Dodge County Sheriff's Deputy the middle finger. Deputy Roy Jaster was driving his squad car on North Center Street when Ronald Watley, 34, gave him the middle finger after driving past the officer. Jaster conducted a traffic stop, and Watley was arrested for operating on a suspended driver's license and for having open intoxicants in the vehicle. One would think that if you do not have a valid driver's license and have open intoxicants in the vehicle, you may not want to attract attention to yourself.
It's enough to make you sick just thinking about it.
Yeah, well, obviously he was drunk and stupid, so that's why you get caught. Oklahoma City. Mother was charged Monday with child neglect after neighbors found her 3-year-old son wandering around the parking lot of their apartment complex with beer in his bottle.
Sweet. Whoa.
Rose Adame, 32, was intoxicated. Was so intoxicated she could not stand June 21st when police arrived at her apartment complex at 2149 Southwest 38. According to court papers, she still tried to grab the beer-filled baby bottle so she could continue drinking. Maybe it was hers.
Oh, yeah. It's more
convenient. She likes, you know, the nipple. You just suck the beer out of the nipple.
Stop it!
She was unresponsive when paramedics arrived to evaluate her son. Detective Carrie Robinson wrote in an affidavit she stopped breathing en route to the local hospital because she was so intoxicated. Nice. Nothing like low alcohol poisoning.
Honestly, it's not as bad as it looks.
Adame later told police she had been sick and drank about a dozen beers that day, starting at 9 a.m.
Hey, man, who doesn't? Hey. It's probably your day off. She's just kicking back.
Yeah. Going to start drinking. Might as well do it first thing in the morning. Two neighbors spotted Adame's son wandering unsupervised at the parking lot. They told police they thought he had beer in his bottle, which was confirmed by the first officer on the scene. Adame faces up to life in prison and a $5,000 fine if convicted. Isn't that kind of out of balance? Life in prison and $5,000?
Yeah, it's like, but, can't you just, you know...
Yeah, adding insult to injury?
I guess not.
Just take the
kid away.
If
you're going to spend life in prison, why the $5,000? Chewy agrees.
You should take the kid away and then sterilize her so she can't...
Yo, Steven, you're getting to a whole
I'm sure she's sterilized already. 24-year-old series man in this is from the Modesto B in California, so I guess this is Ceres, California.
I was just there.
Oh,
really?
Nice.
Yeah.
So a 24-year-old man with his pockets full of jewelry and women's underwear was arrested late Saturday. Yeah, after being chased from a home, authorities say he was burglarizing. When the Ceres police took Daniel Ramos to jail, they discovered he was wearing 5 more pairs of women's underwear.
This is upsetting to me.
Some of them string bikinis.
Wow.
He likes to have his ass out in the wind. The underwear he had been wearing had to be cut off.
Why?
Sergeant Patrick Sullivan
said.
Just
tie it on real tight or something?
Yeah, I guess. One of the burglary victims, a 20-year-old woman, identified the underwear as hers. Can you come down to the station and identify your underwear, ma'am?
Scares me, Jason.
A relative who lives with Ramos said she did not know any details about the burglary because she was out of town Saturday night. Police said Ramos may have been drinking. Sullivan said the family got home around 11:30 p.m. to find a man in the home on the 23 block of Moffett Road. He ran out of the house with the husband following him. During the half-mile chase, Sullivan said Ramos elbowed the man chasing him. The victim lost his balance and fell, receiving minor injuries to the face and hands. They caught up with him. He denied being inside anyone's home. Told police he found the jewelry and underwear.
Oh, it's just a bag outside or something.
Dude, I just found the underwear and jewelry. Seriously. And I thought, you know, I don't have any pockets, so I might as well put it on and take it with me.
That's a good one. Yeah, I can see that happening.
Yeah.
What's so unbelievable about this? I don't get it.
Yeah. Brock sent me this story earlier in the week. A pig. Good Lord. A pig has turned on a woman who tried to look after it.
Oh.
Now, isn't that just like a pig?
Wow.
63-year-old Carolyn Hayes says she's been unable to leave her Ookie house to use the farm's outdoor toilet at times because the white pig is aggressive towards her.
Oh, dear.
She has an outdoor toilet?
I think we're
spooky?
Starting to see a bigger picture here.
Yeah, exactly. Ms. Hayes says the animal came from a home 2 kilometers away, but its owners could not handle it and let it loose in the rainforest.
Huh?
Exactly. So I guess this is somewhere in a rainforest?
The restraining order has been lifted.
She and her neighbors began feeding the pig, who they named Bruce, after it showed up at their home 10 days ago. When I found it, it had 15 ticks in its eyes, which I actually took out.
Ew.
There you go. One of its eyes it couldn't see out of, so I put cream
ticks.
In it
Those
and
so
fixed
gross.
It back up. But apparently, it's actually claimed my land, and claimed my place. Miss Hayes says the pig became aggressive when it wanted more food, recently biting her on the leg when she tried to go to the toilet. Ooh.
What an a-hole pig that is.
Yeah. Started getting very pushy. It started pushing me around, so I started to get a bit frightened until the stage that it started knocking on my door at 4 o'clock in the morning.
It knocked
actually
on her
headbutting
door?
My door. Let me in!
You feminist pig.
She said she locked herself into her house yesterday afternoon and was too afraid to get out late until this morning. This morning I wanted to go to the toilet, which is outside. I opened up the door, and the pig pushed me that hard. It pushed me back into my room where I fell over. I picked up a broom and poked him out with it, and he snapped it in half with his mouth. Holy shit, super pig.
What the hell is this lady talking about?
I think she's insane. The Rangers came out to my house yesterday with a dog cage, and this
the
pig
Rangers.
Is that big. It's like trying to put an elephant in a dog cage.
Does she live in a park ranger team? What?
I guess. Maybe it was the Texas Rangers.
That'd be some real nice.
Maybe they had to bring in Chuck Norris
rainforest?
To get this pig.
I think this lady's making all this up in her head.
They tried for a little while and they couldn't do it. They got him halfway in. He just backed off and went to my dam where he was having a lovely time in the water.
This lady owns a dam too?
Yes, she does.
She has a dam?
Rainforest.
What are you gonna shit in your ears? Come on!
Oh, God. She says Bruce is also causing mayhem in her yard. He's pulled a big king-size mattress out of my garage, and he's ripped it up all around my yard. And then he's come home again, and I've got a mat outside my door, which he's actually rolled up. He put his nose underneath it and actually rolled it up into a perfect roll.
This is inappropriate.
I haven't stopped crying because I'm a major animal lover and a vegetarian.
You're
well, I think it's time to
dumbass.
Eat the pig.
Oh, no wonder she's not making bacon of this thing.
Ooh, bacon.
I love bacon. All right. This one right out of where I grew up, Washington, Pennsylvania.
I'm going to kick your ass.
It was about 20 miles away from there. That's where we went whenever we needed to go shopping or go to the movies or anything. Cinema World in Washington, Pennsylvania. Western Pennsylvania authorities say they found a man suspected of stealing 2 monkeys from a wildlife compound thanks to his MySpace page.
Wah, wah.
Washington County prosecutors say 19-year-old Stephen Labor of Vestaburg. Holy shit! Vestaburg! Vestaburg was like not even 10 miles from where I grew up. It was an old coal town. Basically where the mine was, the Vestaburg mine. this place, it's like row houses in like this really shitty neighborhood, Vestaburg. Oh, it's like I don't want to sound mean or anything. That's kind of where the scummers were when I was growing up.
Scummers?
Yeah, scummers. Like, you know.
Moody Popper.
You know, like the freaks. It was really shitty area.
Okay.
White trash, basically.
It's just like having a headache in your hand, you know?
So he was of Vestaburg, and he's living with his father in Lexington Park, Maryland. Smart. And posted that on his MySpace page that he had a monkey. Oh. Authorities have been looking for him for 9 months. Labor and Michael Naylor of Rice's Landing were charged with taking the monkeys from Wild World of Animals in November. The monkeys were returned several hours later. Police say the teenagers apparently thought marijuana was being grown in the greenhouse where the monkeys were kept.
I just have a problem here.
Are they freaking stupid? You know, that's like one of those rumors that you have as a kid that just gets way out of control.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man, you know they're growing pot in that greenhouse where they keep the monkeys. No way, there's man. Yeah, we stuff. Should totally get some pot and take a monkey shit. With us.
It's not really a monkey house. It's a pot house.
I'm ready for smoke break. How about that one?
So basically, he posted on his MySpace page that he helped steal the monkey.
I'm surprised people even see your MySpace page. You know what I mean? So
well, yeah.
At least he knows he has traffic
updated
on it.
Mine in ages.
You know, he knows people are looking at it, so that's good.
So the kid was charged 2 to 5 years in prison after pleading guilty to burglary and related charges. So you a dumbass. Another beer story involving kids. Father who bought beer for his 4-year-old son at the Fond du Lac County Fair and shared it with the boy's 2-year-old sibling is cited after becoming belligerent when he was approached by police.
Oh.
Been working at the beer tent last July, told an officer she thought the man was joking when he asked for 2 beers, one for him and another for his 4-year-old son. The man told the officer correctly that it's legal for underage children to drink in Wisconsin as long as they're with their parents.
Whoa.
Holy shit. Yeah, that's,
you don't
that's...
know. You don't even have a clue.
Wow. The officer countered that the boys weren't old enough to know what they were drinking. A police report says the man began yelling and swearing and was kicked off the fairgrounds. Wow, the man may have been drunk, but he was smart.
Now, back off and let me pee.
That's one hell of a law in Wisconsin that the kid... is allowed to drink underage as long as their parents are with them.
I know. Wow.
That's like, you know, going to an R-rated movie with your parents.
Wah, wah.
So is that why Green Bay games, people are all having a good time?
I think so. They're all cheeseheads.
They can get their kids drunk while they're at the game?
Yeah. That's why they're so belligerent. You know, whenever somebody has a drinking problem, friend, loved one... you talk to them about it. You know, you stage an intervention. Sometimes it doesn't work. So what does this woman do? Well, she laces her husband's sandwiches with crushed glass.
Holy
to
shit.
To hurt him and force him to address his drinking problem, a court has heard. I know, Chewy. Isn't it crazy? Lynette Margaret Casey of Sandy Bay admitted putting fragments of smashed light globe in her hundy... Her husband's packed lunch 5 or 6 times in October and November last year. Her husband first noticed glass in a roll when he bit into it and chipped the filling on his tooth. A week later, he noticed what looked like rock salt on some biscuits. Supreme Court in Hobart heard he realized it was glass and again found glass in a sandwich the next day. He started keeping his lunches in a freezer in his garage and eventually went to the police after discovering a container of crushed glass in the pantry. Jesse, 50, told police she wanted to hurt her husband as much as he had hurt her. Wow, what a vindictive bitch.
Wow.
Well, New York, an officer appears to have violated police department guidelines when he used a taser gun... on a naked, distraught man teetering on the building ledge. What were you going to say, Steven?
Huh?
I thought Steven said something.
Not
never
me.
Mind.
To my
it was the hiccup.
No, it was the...
In Man Morales...
Bill's not even listening. Geez.
Oh, hey, Steven.
It was one of the clips of me talking.
Oh,
not
okay.
Not being used to my ability.
That.
Yeah, there you go. Inman Morales, 35, was pronounced dead at the hospital after his nearly 10-foot fall Wednesday. Police said he suffered serious head trauma when he hit the
That's
sidewalk.
That's a great thing.
Yeah. Officers had radioed for an inflatable bag as the incident unfolded, but it had not yet arrived.
What?
Yeah, exactly. We have a jumper. Don't tase him. Whatever you do, don't tase him. Okay, I'll tase him. None of the officers on the scene were positioned to break his fall. Yeah, I'm going to stand under a 10-foot fall on
from a naked man.
From a naked man. Get his schwants in my face. Nor did they devise a plan in advance to do so. Lieutenant who directed the use of the stun gun was stripped of his gun and badge, and the officer who shocked Morales was placed on desk duty as the investigation continues. Names were not released.
Well, at least they held him accountable, right?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
They're just like, that was unfortunate.
I mean, there have to be, like, specific guidelines. You know, don't shock somebody when they're on a 10-foot ledge. Because their muscles will lock up and they'll fall. You know, honestly, what probably happened is this guy locked up and then fell like a freaking tree and right on his head. He probably didn't know anything. He probably fell right over, straight down on his head, dead. That's it. Game over, man.
Like that.
All right, now this, I have two stories left. This one I have to mention just because the kid's stupid and the mom's even stupider or dumber. 10-year-old boy who fell from his mother's car while car surfing had to be flown to the hospital. He's in stable condition. Boy was standing on the running board of his mother's car holding the side view mirror and handles. His mother didn't want to do an interview, but she told the news that she has let her kids ride like this before and never thought anything like this would happen. Seriously? Serious? This is unbelievable. Sergeant Greg Butler with the West Jordan Police Department said apparently the mom thought it was okay, and it's a hard lesson that she's going to learn. Yeah, no
more
shit.
More wasted asses than Fanny and Freddy.
Witness Daniel Ramos. What's with the Ramoses this week in the news? He was standing on the plastic, grabbing on the window, and holding on tight. She was going under the speed limit, about 5 miles an hour.
Bobbing in the water.
The victim's mother said she never saw her son fall or let go. When she realized he wasn't hanging onto the vehicle, she got out to find him lying face down on the pavement. Looks like when she went over a speed bump, it knocked him off and he fell. He impacted his head on the cement. He has some critical injuries.
Wait,
boy's mother said, I was really stupid in what I did. We're lucky. We're so lucky right now. Yeah, you're lucky your kid has critical injuries to the head because you're
I'll come put a pillow over your face.
She's a very, you know, she likes to let her kids do what they want and they learn their lessons, you know?
She likes to let them express themselves. All right, last story. Philadelphia police are searching for three gunmen who robbed an East Oak Lane Dunkin' Donuts. Man, now that's cool.
I love donuts.
I'll take all your donuts.
Is that what they stole?
No, I would. authorities say the suspected entered Dunkin' Donuts around 11 a.m., demanded money from the employees, fled with $500 in cash. No one was injured. Police are searching for three black male suspects, one of whom was reportedly wearing a Dunkin' Donuts shirt.
Oh,
wow,
he's
a big fan.
At least.
Yeah. Police also believe one of the men may have filled out a job application at the shop and have a name and address on file that they are hoping will aid in their search of the suspect.
That guy's a genius.
Oh, man, I love them so much. Let's rob them.
I want to
work there. Hey, I applied at this Dunkin' Donuts.
They never call me. I'm going to rob that place.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
And that's news for this week.
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
Nice.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the news, and let's go ahead and do the DVDs and get the hell out of here.
Yes.
Ow! Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs. Let's do some DVDs.
DVD! DVD! DVDs! HD! Blu-ray! Standard definition!
Yeah, the DVDs, Chewbacca!
This is one hell of a long show.
Yes, it is. Let's get to it.
Yeah.
I think I'm losing my voice. We've been
doing so am I. First DVD, American Stag, a documentary about the Stag films. And compiled from the largest private collection in the U.S. Interviews with... Adam Carolla, Tommy Chong, Melvin Van Peebles from Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song, Barbara Hammer, Chris Gore, Linda Williams, Rupert G. This is stuff that's always interested me, like those classic stag films. It's just so weird, so creepy.
You sick bastard!
Yeah. Next is B.L. Stryker, The Complete Series. Why not get your Burt Reynolds on?
B.L. Stryker, what the hell is that?
Don't you remember that series?
I remember.
With Burt Reynolds, Ossie Davis.
Evening Shade?
No, B.L. Stryker.
I have no idea.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't exactly before your time.
Wiener Poopy?
It was like a private detective show. Remember he lived on his boat in Florida? He uses friends and to solve crimes in Florida. It was like 1989, somewhere around then.
I was at the age probably I was watching less TV, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Next, Beauty and the Beast, the complete series.
Oh,
with,
but I wasn't too busy to watch this.
Linda Hamilton and Ron Perlman as the Beast.
Yes, Ron Perlman.
The entire series, first, second, and third, the final.
The best part about that whole show was Mouse. Remember the little kid named Mouse or something?
Yes.
Was he mute? I can't remember.
I don't remember. It's been so long since I've seen
no,
that
the best
show.
Part was the Beast riding on the subway against the blue screen. He was always riding on the top with the wind blowing his hair. It was looked so shitty. Loved it.
All right, next DVD, Bigger, Stronger, Faster, a documentary about steroids.
Oh, I thought it was going to be Bionic Woman, the series.
No, I'm sorry. It basically covers, like, athletes and U.S. congressmen to talk about our nation on steroids. I think it was on HDNet a couple weeks back. I didn't catch it.
Huh.
Not really interested. Don't really care. But yeah, I guess the steroid thing is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. Apparently, I'm not using them, though, so...
Yeah, you know, I need to get me some. Shrink up my balls.
The ones that... The man whose arms exploded.
Nice.
Yes.
Does your testicles hurt?
That was
weird, man.
Have you seen that? Did you see that, Bill?
Yeah, that guy's... it's really disgusting.
They've done blowed up?
Yeah.
It's like he has balloons in his arms.
He got infected in his arm from shooting up.
Wow. And they just exploded?
Well, they didn't explode like, you know, like you would think.
Yeah.
They were like hot.
The muscle exploded.
Oh, okay.
So he had to go in there. He was sticking a needle in and draining it himself.
Yeah.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Yeah, I'm going to puke, so thanks, Steven. next DVD is Butterfly. It's a film from 1982 that had a really insanely hot Pia Zadora in it. I remember that Stacy Keach in it, too.
Proposal to jack off.
I don't think a lot of people have seen it, but it's pretty
vaguely familiar. But why are they releasing it?
I think Orson Welles was in it too.
Wow.
Yeah. But Pia Zadora was really hot in it.
Okay, excuse me. I've actually had enough. All right.
Oh, just a couple more. Can't Hardly Wait, the 10-year reunion edition on DVD and Blu-ray.
This is big stuff.
They're going to have the original commentary from the DVD on it and a commentary that's current, a 10-year later commentary.
Nice. Please tell me Seth Green has something to do with this, because he's my hero.
I'm sure he does.
I got that for Jason as a joke.
Oh, really?
It was way over.
He was complaining about Seth Green being in everything.
Oh, and I listened to the commentary.
What was it? Was it your
commentary? Was actually pretty good.
I can't remember. It was your birthday one year.
Yeah. I definitely watched it in the commentary. That's where they told me stuff like how they took out all the pot references and stuff like that. It's good stuff.
All right. Next DVD, Chapter 27, the true story about Mark David Chapman killing ex-Beatle John Lennon. This is the one with... Jared Leto, where he put on like 50 pounds.
That looked really creepy.
Yeah, and it's got Lindsay Lohan and Judah Friedlander in it.
Was it good or was it just
I have
bad,
no idea. I know it's on DVD and it didn't go to theater, so that might be...
I think it did play in
art houses. Limited release.
It did the festival circuit and the art house time, kind of thing. But I don't know.
All right, next is Dirty Harry, two-disc special edition and Blu-ray. They're also releasing a Blu-ray collection of all the Dirty Harry films.
Nice. I love Dirty Harry.
Yes.
Especially Sudden Impact.
Yes, Sudden Impact. Classic. Isn't that the one where the dog farts? I just remember the dog farts in one of them.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Yeah, remember that was everyone's... That was the big saying that people would say.
Next DVD is Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
I love that movie! Did you ever see it, Steven?
No, sir.
Unrated Collector's Edition on Blu-ray and DVD.
Nice, unrated. They always do that, don't they?
Yeah, the really. Unrated.
But that's one of those movies I'm going to watch like a million times. It's like 40-Year-Old Virgin or Superbad. You just watch it over and over again. I really do. Or Super Troopers. You know, just comedies you like. You watch it over and over again. That's one.
Yeah, stuff you just throw on and enjoy.
I really loved it, and I've only seen it once. And you know what? The theater I saw it at sucked ass, and the bulb was, like, flickering. And that's one of the reasons I started going to the Rave Motion Pictures, because I was sick of the film, and I'm only going to see digitally projected movies from now on and ever since then. But I'll get to watch Sarah Marshall in HD. It'd be awesome.
You'll get to see Jason Segel's penis in HD.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Next DVD is quite possibly one of the most depressing films ever. Oliver Stone's Heaven and Earth with Joan Shannon and Tommy Lee Jones.
I sat through this movie, and I did want to kill myself by the time it was over. In fact,
you sympathized with Tommy Lee Jones.
Wah, wah.
What a long movie. You know what the movie feels like, Heaven and Earth? Someone's hitting you. No. Someone's chiseling the back of your head.
Yeah, for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
Banging out with a hammer. And finally, by the time of the movie, they've finally gotten through the skull and just pierced your brain. That's the way that movie feels to me.
Yeah.
So
DVD of the
so
week.
So what I'm
easy.
Saying is check it out.
Iron Man Ultimate 2-Disc Edition DVD and Blu-ray.
Nice. Iron Man.
Tons of extras.
Everyone has seen this movie because it made like a gazillion dollars.
Yeah.
I bet the Blu-ray looks gorgeous.
Yeah, and the second disc is a 7-part making of, 6-part history of Iron Man, visual effects of Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr. screen test. I mean, just it's pretty much loaded.
Nice. I don't think I'll watch any of those extras.
Yeah, I know. And the last DVD, a movie I was tortured with as a kid by my sisters, or at least one of my sisters, The Mosquito Coast. Peter Weir directed, Paul Schrader written.
Yeah, that's one of those movies, kind of like Heaven and Earth in a way. It's
one of those movies that just you really want to kill yourself.
Harrison Ford's character is going insane, and he's making you insane while you're watching
yes.
it. So by the time the movie's over, you're clinically insane.
Yeah. I just remember having to be tortured with that. My sister would watch it over and over again, I think because River Phoenix was in it.
Ah, yes. Probably had something to do with River.
Yeah, that was... Oh, I hated that movie with a passion.
You know, the one thing that I loved about that movie, because I live in Texas, it's always hot. Harrison Ford's character invents an air conditioner for the tropics where they live, you know? He finds a way to air condition where they live. That was the fascinating part of the movie.
Yeah,
I was like, that's badass. Crazy. The guy can invent the giant air conditioner? That guy is my hero. They should have gotten more into that story.
He's like the professor.
Yeah, the guy was a genius. He can make, you know, stuff.
He can make
ice.
A giant air conditioner?
Yeah.
He can make vagina?
What? giant air conditioner.
I thought Steven said he could make vagina. It's like, what? It's
disgusting.
Steven, how could you?
I didn't say that.
And those were DVDs for September 30th, Tuesday, 2008.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
Thank
you. I'm going to pick up Sarah Marshall.
Coast.
Whoa, what, Steven? What are you talking?
Nothing. Mosquito
More
coast.
Wasted asses than Fanny and Freddy.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And
live on the show, some guys.
Yes, painfully live.
Okay.
Fat
ass! Oh my god! It,
there's a woman on it every week who's one of the singers. Every week, it's a different headdress, but she's got it on every week.
All right, everybody, that was episode 139 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thank you for listening to this extra-long show. I don't know how it happened, but
yeah,
it's extra-long. But thank you for tuning in. Yeah,
a lot
of TV. We're gonna just start glossing over shit. And, we're going to start adhering to podcasting rules, 30-minute shows only with podcast-safe music. So, sorry, guys, the show's changing. We're evolving. We want to win that podcast award. That's the only way to do it, to play by the rules. But if you'd like to go to nowhereinmulberry.com, you can find links to Mulberry Old School and our forum. Also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email, and I'd appreciate it. You know what's kind of funny is last week we had voicemail, this week we didn't. It seems to be on again, off again, like every other week. Have you noticed that? It's like people got to work up their... wanting to talk to us about something.
Yeah.
I want someone who loves Heroes to call in and defend it to us. You know,
you can't defend that shit.
Well, here's the thing. Like, Bill, you will act like it causes you pain when you watch it, right?
It does. It causes me physical pain.
See, but I can enjoy the stupidity. Yeah, I can enjoy stupidity, basically. I don't know why, but it's just like, it's so, like, Peter's character is so stupid, I just find it entertaining that it's just so lame, you know what I mean? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you watch a bad movie or something, you know, I think you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, I do. It's like whenever I watch, I love my Mystery Science Theater 3000. And I watch that, and it may cause me physical pain, but it's stupid, and the comments are funny. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah. So,
There's a question. I know I don't want to. You know,
no. What, Bill?
Witt's brain in the chat room wants to know what the banjo sounding thing after the Super Chicken is from.
The
banjo, the clucking banjo.
Oh, okay. That's called, it's titled Goofy Banjo Music.
And
a long time ago, when we first started the show, or we were going to start it, I went around online looking for different things to use for the show. And one of those MP3 sites where people share different sound effects and everything. I can't even remember what the site is called. It's been over 3 years, but there was a file called Goofy Banjo Music. I hit play, heard it, and was like, "That's gold, Jerry, gold." So I've been playing it ever since. So it's not a very interesting story, but
yeah, there you go.
That's Goofy.
There's a tiny story behind
Goofy Banjo Music. So yeah. And that's pretty much all I got. I'm exhausted. We've been doing the show a long time, and we'll hear Steven. We'll find out about this serious contest. Bill, did you find out anything?
I have found nothing of the sort yet. I looked all over while we were doing the show. Steven's going to have to point me in a direction.
Like you said, I heard it driving home, and whether
sure
that's old or new
or
I don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it was on Sirius, yeah, because I was listening to
it was today.
The Best of Howard for the week.
Okay.
And Gary came on, and he was talking. He said, "You think you can do Howard's job? Send us in an hour reel of your best stuff.
Was it from an old show of Howard's?
I don't know.
So it's for Howard 100 or Howard 101?
Well, they said it, I mean, that was for Sirius, so obviously it has to be new.
Hmm. Look into that, Bill, okay?
Well, we don't exactly want to be ridiculed by...
Maybe it was older and they were just doing clips. I don't know. Maybe it was something. I don't know.
All right.
Okay.
You may also experience an involuntary bowel movement.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, next week we'll be back and talk about other stuff. And we're, stuff like that. Bye!
You're so full of you'd make a great politician. You know that?
Yes.
That's mean. Bye, Bill.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. See you next week. Good times.
Casting.